Yo, so have you ever watched the IBHM podcast? And have you ever watched it on weed? Trips you out, man. Do they know what they're talking about? I don't know. I got an interesting story for everyone. I'm honest with my podcast listeners, and I've talked for the past couple of months about how my doctor has had me on fucking antidepressants and social anxieties medication and all that. I'm slowly becoming a hippie, and so I'm going, you know, branching out from all this fucking chemical bullshit. And I have a doctor's appointment on this Tuesday to go get my medical marijuana card. So yeah. I'm amped about that, and so I got to thinking about it, and I was like, I ain't smoked weed in like 10 years, and I was like, I'm going to go like spend this money, and I ain't even smoked weed in a while, so I was like, fuck it. Got off work yesterday, and I stopped by somebody who had to hook up, and I blazed up last night for the first time in 10 years, and I'm like, why did I stop doing this in the first fucking place? Why did I stop? So
I hate you for two reasons. One, that you got your card, and I'm jealous about that because I ain't trying to dish out the $400 just so I can smoke comfortably.
No, it's $150.
I'm not done about my hatred towards you. And then second, you smoke without me, motherfucker. How was it?
So we gonna link up, and we're definitely gonna smoke. It was fucking fantastic, and fucking I'm so done with alcohol and I'm drinking and all that, and I took two quick little hits of a bowl, and I was like, I'm at peace now. I'm back to normal. So yes. So your boy Arizona Verse is back in the weed world, if you will. So I'm back, ladies and gentlemen.
Hell yeah! Back to more procrastination.
Decisions. Ladies and gentlemen, and everyone in between, welcome to the IBHM podcast. I am your host, Arizona Verse. With me, my dude and co-host, Soul Papo.
Yes, sir.
Boom.
I'm black. He's Mexican. And now that we got that out of the way, welcome to our show. It is a podcast about nothing in particular. We got a lot of shit to talk, but before any and all of that, if you run across some articles that you want to hear our opinion on, disagree with something we said earlier, or whatever the fuck you want to do, chime in at ibhmpodcast@gmail.com. You can subscribe to our show on Stitcher, iTunes, Podomatic, and YouTube by searching I'm Black, He's Mexican. Like our Facebook fan page, tweet us, gawk at our inappropriateness on Tumblr by simply adding IBHM Podcast in an appropriate spot. If you don't want to do any of that, just head over to the website, IBHMPodcast.com or I'mBlackHe'sMexican.com to find all of our social media links there.
Talk shit to us, please.
And also, you guys can call and leave a voicemail for the show at 480-426-0013. Now, if you want to hit me up, Arizona Verse, my main source of social media fuckery is Tumblr, and you can find me at adifferentstateofblack.tumblr.com. If you want to holla at my main man, Soul Papo, his main source of social media fuckery is...
I do fuck with the Tumblr, so at soulpapo.tumblr.com.
Yes, sir. And we have a special motherfucking guest on this episode of the IBHM podcast. My dude, Ramen Charles from The Weed Show and Worst Case Scenario Radio from The Weed Show and Worst Case Scenario Radio, and his main source of social media fuckery is...
So you can go to facebook.com/RamenCharles. That's R-A-H-M-U-N. And I bought soysauceboss.com and ramen.com, but I gotta get hosting for that shit. That shit costs money.
I'll hit you up. The hosting site that we go through for our website is pretty cheap. I'll shoot you a link after the show. I'll let you know.
Please, because I need it. I need to get that site back up and running now. I just need to get a template for it.
Yeah.
And do that good stuff.
Most def. So tell the people about Worst Case Scenario Radio, The Weed Show, what y'all all about, man. Let them know. Yeah.
No, thanks for having me, dude. I appreciate it. First thing I wanted to comment is that the show is called I'm Black, He's Mexican. So you're black, Soul Papo's Mexican. Now we have an Asian on the show, and I'm half white. And I'm half white. So I'm 50% Asian, Burmese. and then 50% white. So we're like literally hitting all the entire
hitting the entire fucking globe on this shit. We are branching the fuck out. That's what it's about.
I don't know if you have any background information. I also am an aspiring terrorist/anti-terrorist. I haven't fully decided whether to go, you know what I'm saying, good or evil with it. So yeah, we're trying to hit all demographics. So you definitely are a great
asset. He gets confused for a terrorist very often. So it happens. It's the beer.
I think just because we said that right now and we're live through some sort of airwave, I think we're gonna have like black vans or like white vans outside of our houses.
Yo, what's hilarious is we talk a lot of different things. We talk conspiracy theories and different shit on here. Every time we bring up the NSA or the Illuminati, the show drops. We've had happen multiple times where the show has dropped. Start talking about something and the show drops. So somebody's listening.
Man, yeah, they're
listening. Peace, love, and happiness. That's
funny.
That's what I'm saying. So.
That's funny. No, absolutely. Worst case scenario is a rap group here in Phoenix, Arizona. There's eight of us. We kind of are like a cultural melting pot, which is really cool. We all have our own unique different styles. And through that, one of the originating members of Worst Case Scenario, they ended up getting hooked up with KWSS 93.9 FM out here in Arizona. They got a block of radio, and from there, it was just originally an hour to showcase Arizona hip hop music and really put it out there. And then they play their own stuff too, of course. But eventually I got asked to join the group. I've been doing hip hop in Arizona for like 10 plus years. Okay. The hour expanded to 4 hours. And so I've kind of bought into one of the hours. And so now I have my own show called That Weed Show, Thursday night / Friday morning from 1 a.m. to 2 a.m. We just get in there and we talk about weed. We do silly stuff. We play the game show called Which Be Safer. It's kind of like this, you know. We're just hanging out and talking about weed and stuff. We just have to be careful because it really still is going out through FM waves. So we can't just like freely like how we're doing this right now. So I kind of produce the show a little bit, and I have to take out the cuss words and all that.
Okay, that's what's up. And over here, luckily, but we haven't quite blown up just yet. So say whatever the fuck you like on this show. Say whatever you like.
Yeah. The only thing damaging would be whatever sort of incriminating things we reveal to our social networks, which, I mean, motherfuckers ran on that shit all damn day anyway. It really doesn't matter.
Exactly.
So real quick, I wanted to follow up before the last episode that we did. Me and Soul Popo checked out the motherfucking True Rest isolation tank, and I wanted to follow up with the listeners about that. How we feel, you know, 2 weeks later. And actually, I was going to ask Ramen, have you ever heard of isolation tank?
Oh man, we could talk about this for hours. You guys should just have me on this. Because I talked about DMT and the pineal gland on my show.
My motherfucking man. Yeah, you fit.
And Joe Rogan does that. He does those isolation tanks. And I'm too scared to do an ISO tank, but I would definitely try DMT. I mean, I guess it's pretty illegal, but I would try it if it were ever available to me. I mean...
See, and
that's why I feel you're in shrooms. I'll do it if I find it.
See, and that's the thing. I'm a big fan of Joe Rogan. I talk about his podcast, the Joe Rogan Experience, all the time. And he's the one who was always talking about the isolation tank. And so I decided to go ahead and try one. And I found one up the street from my house. So doing some investigating journalism, me and Popo, before the last episode, we went down there and we checked it out. And I'm the same way. Like, I was terrified to do it at first because I ain't afraid to admit I'm a brother that don't know how to swim. I grew up in the projects, and black people that grew up in the projects, we don't know how to swim. So I was a little nervous getting in there, but it was fucking fantastic. And just like the disconnection from the sensory overload, if you will, just everything, it was dope. And so I've signed up. I'm a monthly member now at this place. Actually, I'm taking my fiance tomorrow morning. I'm gonna bring her. We're gonna go do the isolation tank. I'm gonna let her check it out. And like I said, I'm slowly but surely becoming a hippie. I see it coming right around the corner. So since the ISO tank, I've been feeling fantastic. I've been sleeping good. My back's been feeling good. My shoulder's been feeling good. It's just, I recommend it to any and everybody. If you could check out a fucking ISO tank, check one out. It's fucking fantastic. So
now, so the thing that you're doing, it's more of like a health, like, so they have these things for like health, right? It's now becoming this thing. Like basically, that you can go to and basically just go in and sleep. Okay.
Yeah. So basically, you float in the thing. It's 10 inches of water. It's the same temperature as your skin. And then you close the door. You can't see anything. You can't hear anything. So you're like essentially floating in the abyss. And it's just you and your thoughts, if you will. And so some people, after doing it for so long, they develop psychedelic experiences from doing it and all that. And so I was like, yo, I'm gonna go ahead and check it out. And like I said, I found one up the street, and so I did it, and that's my new fucking thing. So
You have a psycho experience? My bad, I didn't mean that.
Well, I was just gonna say I was upset that I didn't have any psycho experience other than my own psychotic sort of, you know, never ending sort of conversation with myself. So I was upset that I didn't get a good trip out of it. I'm like, I expected so much, but then again, come on, that's a free. Yeah. I mean, what shouldn't go out expecting, you know, to see signs? But it was a relaxing thing. I want to say it made sleep pretty good for me, to where now, like, I feel like I have to go there again just so I can, you know, fall into, you know, the good deep sleep that I got feeling after. Kind of like, you know, like when you bust, we haven't fucked in forever, you finally get that fucking, like, oh, God, like, I really needed this. I could probably last a whole another month now. I don't know. It was kind of like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But the only reason I actually fully went into it is because, like, I was like, I remember seeing this, and like, my bitch Lady Gaga when it was seen in a picture with one of these, so why not? That's when I would encourage you more, but yeah. I want that trip.
I didn't have a psychedelic experience or anything. The first 30 minutes of it was trying to get comfortable in the motherfucker, because, like, the first thing your body does is, like, it kind of pins, because since your brain can't focus on anything else, you start feeling, like, certain ailments that you have. Like, I have back problems, and so I could feel that. I tore my rotator cuff, like, 4 years ago. I could feel that while I was in there. So the first 30 minutes was kind of my body telling me what was wrong with my body. And then the last 30 minutes of it, as I started getting into it, then it kind of started to end. So I'm gonna do it's kind of just like with working out or with meditating and all that. You got to do it multiple times to really get that routine and get it going. But yeah, I swear by this shit now. I'm all about it. So
I die by that shit. I feel like it made me lazier, because then I didn't do a goddamn thing for working. I didn't connect to my own laziness due to marijuana, but I got in one session. After that, I was like, no, I feel this too much. I don't want to do it.
Yeah. So that's my shit. So
that's exactly how I would have done it too.
Duck down.
Just duck down real quick.
Yo, so I'm gonna say. So I mean, I'm already skipping ahead. I'm this guy. Let me tell you what your guy I am when I fell in love. I'm already thinking about kids, wife. In this case,
he falls hard.
Yeah, I fall hard. When I go down hard, it's real hard.
Dude, I'm so with you. I'm like thinking ahead about like SUVs and like green grass and like throwing the football with like in the barbecue park.
Shave down the line.
Like all we did was get frozen yogurt, and the next thing I know, I'm thinking about like insurance plans and shit.
Like I want to wave it down. Shit, hope she doesn't have bad credit. Oh, it's too late for it. I'm already in love. Fuck it, I have no condo. But what I was trying to say was, him hitting that shit off screen, and then you getting your car to Arizona verse, I'm really thinking we really need to meet together, and we need to connect.
I'm with it.
Let's continue then. I'm sorry, I got really excited. That sounds amazing.
And that's actually funny, because that's a good segue into our first article. Apparently, a woman called the cops to complain about the quality of her pot.
As well, she should.
She got arrested. Apparently, in Lufkin, Texas, police in East Texas have arrested a woman after she called them to complain about the quality of marijuana she had purchased from a dealer. The police sergeant, whatever his name, had said that the officer went to the home of the 37-year-old woman to hear her complaint that the dealer refused to return her money after she objected that the drug was substandard. Apparently, she pulled the small amount of marijuana from her bra, and when the officer asked her, she still had it, and they arrested her for it. So I'm like, that's fucked up. And she complained because she spent $40, and all she got was seeds and residue. So poor woman. That's the reason why they need to legalize this shit in Texas, because then she could just go to her local dispensary and not have to deal with that bullshit. So
one of my biggest gripes, and mind you, I have my boy Rude, he got it, so I mean, he's happy as shit, you know, being able to go to places. I'm not allowed in it, supposedly. I'm not too sure if you're not allowed in. If you don't have a car, I'll let homie tell us more about it when it's his turn. That's one of the shittiest parts about in this kind of mention, like a pineapple express, like having to deal with a goddamn drug dealer. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Not only are they not your friend, but you got to do business, and you got to kind of do all this, you know, kind of inner office. Hope we have good rapport, because I want you to sell to me, and I don't want you to fuck me over, kind of yeah. thing. It's shitty, and you don't know how many times I've wanted to go back to a drug dealer and tell him the same shit they're on in his face, tell him how dissatisfied I am and how upset I am as a customer. But customer service don't really go.
Yeah, there's not too much customer service in the drug dealing business.
I respect it for going to the cops, but goddamn, you dumb bitch. Like, why? Unless you just wanted to stitch him out, like, damn, like...
I know, that's fucked up. She should have fucking called some homies from up the block and then had them go. They probably would have helped her a lot better than the motherfucking cops would, because the cops was just looking to arrest the motherfucker to make his quota for the month. So she kind of fucked up on that regard. So
he saw the opportunity to jump on board, man. Shit. How is it when you go into the shop, though?
Yeah, so have you been into, like, dispensaries, Ramen? I haven't been in one.
I haven't been in any in Arizona. I lived in L.A. for a year, and I've been into one when I was out there. I had my card for, like, a year. And it was awesome, actually. There's one place that I found that had just the most ridiculous strain, and I would just go in there. I would just always go to that one. Because once you find that one that you really, really, like, are down for, like, you just keep going to that one.
Yeah, it turns into a long-term relationship.
Are you indulging illegally, my friend? I thought you was the... You talk so openly and have a show about it. You know, this motherfucker must be doing a real legit status. Are you telling me that's not the case?
No, not in Arizona. I mean, I say I do when I'm on, like, FM, but, you know, I don't really. I mean, I'll end up getting it. It's fine. It's like, what's anyone really gonna, like, what, for a little bit of weed smoke? Like, what's someone gonna do?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, even if they did something, it's like, okay, whatever. Like, a little bit of weed smoke? Fuck you. Like, there's gotta be other things people can, like, deal with than that, you know?
Exactly. And that's the whole thing, because, like, it was funny when I lit up last night. I'm sitting in there, and, you know, I hit it, and I'm sitting there, and then so I'm starting to get high. And I'm like, this is so fucking silly that this shit is illegal. And it's just, it's a big scam. It comes down to Big Pharma makes billions of dollars a year pushing out anxiety medication and fucking antidepressants and all that. And they know that if they completely legalize it and let people be able to grow the shit in their houses, they're going to be able to lose billions upon billions of dollars. And so it's just fucking corporations doing what corporations do and trying to corner their market with a bunch of bullshit that's not helping anything. It's just prolonging it. I was talking about it on an episode I think it was the last episode, when they got me on this fucking capsule shit that I gotta take every single night. And when I had moved to the new place about a month ago, I had my phone cracked, so I didn't have my notifications where I could, you know, remember to take my medication. So I forgot to take it for like a week, and I was fucked up in the game, and I just mentally off and just physically just all fucked up. And I was like, it's just a shame that this shit is legal, which is chemically fucking you up and all that, but something that's natural that evolved on Earth with us over the course of fucking hundreds of thousands and millions of years. It's so silly that that is illegal, but the shit that we cooked up in a lab 20 years ago, that shit is illegal. It is legal, so I don't know.
I know, no, 100%. I mean, that's real.
That's bad, and we're scared of the fucking cartel, so we really can't really stop shit from coming in, at least not yet. Hey, but yo. That's my little conspiracy and stuff. I gotta ask you first, real fast, when you smoke, especially because I realize, my homie, I've been getting used to medical now, so I've been real spoiled as of late. It's not the same when you go to anything else, you know what I'm saying? There's a big difference between that, Reg. But I gotta ask you though, how hard did you fall on your ass though? Cause you got something from the shop, right? I'm guessing, right?
No, no, I didn't get it from the shop. I knew somebody up the street, so I did it because since I haven't got the card yet, I was like, let me go ahead.
Why I just my foot down right now? Why I just?
I was like, let me go ahead and try real quick before I get the card, cause I was like, you know, I had stopped 10 years ago, and I was like, what if, you know, my body doesn't react to it like it used to react or whatever? So I was like, let me just go ahead and try it. And so, no, I knew somebody, and I'll just say that, I know somebody, and so I picked it up, stopped by after work and picked it up, and so then, yeah, it just blazed up, and I'm like, shit, I'm back home.
You're back just home. Too damn grown, man. How does my body gonna react to it? You wouldn't give a fuck with kids. Build a guy. Does this bitch have a disease? Nigga, you just fuck her.
And that's the thing, because like when I stopped smoking back in the day, it was because I had got a new job that they tested all the damn time and all that. And that was part of the reason why I had stopped. And then, yeah, I'm a fucking old man now. I got two kids and all that, and sleep apnea and all kinds of fucking shit. So I was like, you know, I got to make sure I could ease back into it. I'm not as young as I used to be, but I'm back, y'all. So
it's funny, man.
Fucking playing the QT. Q-tip. Cause I'm back, y'all. And I'm back, y'all.
And I'm and actually, Papa, you brought this Nets article up. You had sent this about a teacher is accused of giving a student a birthday lap dance in class.
Yeah.
You want to go ahead and take that one?
Yeah, I guess I could. I don't have the. I should pull up the link, I guess. Yeah. I was trying to make a little segment because we go through our moments to where I feel like he just doesn't want to do the show for whatever sort of reason. I'm like, I can make him a show. I was trying to do a People Ain't Shit version too, because we kind of had an episode about that a little while.
Talking shit about people and some dedications and some different shit like that, but yeah.
But anyway, so try to do that. So I saw that you picked at it, so I'm glad. And yeah, I guess some kid, I don't know what the kid's name is, out in Texas, and which kind of brings me to the conclusion that if Texas is trying to seem as crazy as Arizona is, y'all motherfuckers gonna be taking our fucking cues, our craziness, with our cooked up people, our kooky sheriff, and our dumb
Florida
shit, our brains, governor.
Florida, no. Texas, and Arizona are the three wildest fucking places in America. And anytime you see these fucked up stories, you can guarantee it's from one of those three states. So
I'm very proud of my state. Very proud. Highly proud. Overly even so much. But yeah, apparently this is 15-year-old kid's birthday, and she just straight up gave him what I guess authorities call the full-on lap dance. I guess that includes touching and grinding. And yeah, she was just saying I love you while she was doing it. I don't know if she was like the most popular teacher, and she was cool.
Oh, she's the most popular now, I'll tell you that. As music played, Smith said, I love you, baby. Happy birthday, according to the boy's statement.
Like, yo, I don't know. What are your thoughts on it? That's just random.
Maybe. Crazy. Like, he smacked her ass. He smacked her ass.
What are you doing in that situation?
How can you get a lap dance and not slap the ass? You got to.
I know it's so bad, but, like, I wouldn't have pressed any charges. I guess probably the school pressed charges or something, but, like,
yeah.
I wouldn't have been mad at that. I would have been like, oh, man, it's cool.
I wonder how it leaked out. So did just people? I'm guessing the boy didn't complain. I really see that being a difficult thing. So I wondered, did a kid get jealous? Because I know I would. I'm a snitch. Ooh, I didn't get none. I'm a snitch.
No, they just talked about it. Could you imagine, you know, like the rumor about that, you know, going around? Lap dancing. So then it probably just caught on.
I know. All it took was one other student. Like, oh man, I ain't get my lap dance. My birthday was last week. What's going on?
Right.
And it's funny.
What the hell, Miss Smith? What about us who got birthdays on Saturdays? Why the hell
we been discriminated against on a Saturday for real? And it's funny because, like, reading this, the parent in me is like, oh, this is atrocious. I can't believe this. But the man in me is like, where the fuck were these teachers at when I was in high school? I so would have been fucking teachers if that was a thing back when I was in high school. I know I had crushes on many a teachers, but they weren't giving it up like they're giving it up nowadays. I don't know what the fuck is going on.
I had kind of two theories on that. One being the fact that I think we psychologically did this, and now people being so deprived, the freak in all of us is just coming out, or we hear, or it's been such a tall tale, but it's been known for so long that men have been the predators in that case, and now women, I guess, have evolved into that role. And me being a Bible thumper of all that was evil once before will be good, and so all that pedophile shit's gonna move on to the ladies and be okay, kind of, it's alright, you know, let's let it pass kind of thing too. I don't know. That, or the fact that, I mean, technology wasn't what it was, you know, before, and we really didn't know about it. I mean, it wasn't, you know, it wouldn't be newsworthy because, you know, we kind of fixated on local shit, if not national. Yeah. I don't know.
And that is a good take on it, because this shit probably has been happening from the beginning of fucking time, but it's just a matter of we're in the social media realm of the world where shit like this spreads a whole lot quicker than it used to, so it becomes a lot much bigger of a story. Maybe 25 years ago, this would have been something that was just talked about locally, but it hits the airwaves, and then you got podcasts like us who are talking about it and awareness to other people, and just becomes a bigger story than it would have been 20-something years ago, so I don't know.
Boss.
So I guess we'll go ahead and talk about some of our favorite things in the motherfucking hip hop world. We'll go ahead and take it over there. And I saw this article. Shouts out to allhiphop.com, one of my favorite websites.
Mm-hmm. Apparently
an engineer is requesting $100,000 for Jay-Z's master recording tapes. And Just Blaze had some things to say about this. Everybody knows Jay-Z, my favorite rapper, including Popo's favorite rapper as well. Popo's a huge Jay-Z lover, in case you guys didn't know.
I come all love all of this shit, and only so I don't have to fucking be able to play it again.
But apparently, everybody knows Jay-Z's very savvy in the business world, and he owns the master recordings of all his albums. But
which is, I think, what kind of caused the drift, right, with the whole Dame Dash situation. Is that what it popped off? He didn't want to get the master, he wanted to own it because he wanted a piece of the pie.
Yeah, because that was the thing when they were splitting up and all that. Jay-Z was kind of going a different direction, if you will, so they decided to split up Rockefeller, and Jay-Z was like, I want at least the master recordings of Reasonable Doubt, but Big and Dame wanted the master recordings of all of it. So then Jay-Z used his big money and his business swag or whatever to take all of the shit away from him. But apparently some engineer named Chauncey Mahan has attempted to get $100,000 in exchange for master recording tapes of Jay-Z songs from 1998 to 2002. Apparently, this guy has had possession.
Classic stuff was made, I think.
That was around when Jay-Z hit his resurgence, and when this is around the Blueprint time and all that. And I guess the guy has had the recordings for over a decade in some storage facility. And so now he's requesting Live Nation pay him $100,000 as a storage fee for the recordings. And I thought that was kind of crazy, but I mean, on one side of it, I kind of get the dude, because like, okay, Jay-Z owns the master recordings, but nigga, it must not be that important to you if it's been sitting up in my fucking storage facility for 15 fucking years. So isn't it possession 9/10 of the law? What the fuck is the saying? Some shit like that?
I've heard that saying. I don't know exactly how it goes down, but I was going to say, though, I mean, you figure they'd buy it off of him, right? Wasn't that the biggest thing? And actually, and really quickly, too, because when I was reading the article, I was thinking to myself, Chauncey. I remember Kanye, I think, making fun of him on a line in one of the songs. Like, where are you, Chauncey? I wonder, is he talking about him?
Oh, maybe.
Was that an insider?
Maybe, because I know he had that other line on one of those albums where he said something about lips darker than Chauncey or some shit like that. That might have been who he was talking about. That might have been.
You're a hip-hop head, ain't you, Bus?
I know, yeah. Ramen, you fuck with Jay-Z at all?
Yeah, I was looking at this article. This is crazy. So this guy wants the storage fee for these recordings. This is wild. Yes, I am a hip-hop head. I like Jay-Z. I like the Blueprints. The first two are the best.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Reasonable Doubt. I mean, that's like a classic. But yeah, those. Well, and then the first, like the, I guess, Volume 1 and 2 are pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not afraid to admit I'm a big Jay-Z stan. I've been a fan of the man. And I'm like the only person who champions the American Gangster album. I thought that was a very solid album. And a lot of people didn't like it.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm...
I fucks with America. I like American Gangster in the same
sense. That was the closest he's come to Reasonable Doubt as far as sounding like gritty.
The old Jay-Z, if you will.
Yeah, like, and story-driven, I want to say.
Yeah, and I liked it in the same sense of why I liked Kendrick Lamar's Good Kid, Mad City, was it was... It told a story from beginning to end. Like, there was a build up, a climax, and like it told a complete tale, if you will, or whatnot. So I'm a big fan of that album, but yeah, a lot of people don't really fuck with that album, man. I'm not mad at him, but
a lot of his late stuff. I just really haven't even, like, I literally haven't even given. What's the latest one? Where he says he's Jesus, or no, that's Jesus, but where he's still says something being godly. What is it? Holy Grail or something?
Holy Grail. Yeah.
Holy Grail, man. Like, so I haven't even given that a chance yet.
It was hit or miss. Like, when I first listened to it, I really liked it, but then it grew old, like, very quickly.
And Timberland doesn't sound like Timberland on that album, wherever the hell he is. I couldn't even tell.
So, but Just Blaze is funny. He chimed in on Twitter about all this shit, and he was like, "I never forget the day Chauncey stepped Aduro, won the fight. This guy ruined every tape transfer for the Dynasty album." And I thought this was hilarious. He said the Dynasty intro sample flangs the entire time. Guess why, Chauncey? I always wondered that because I liked that intro that was on that album, but that sample, I was always like, that sample's a little off. It didn't get quite right. And even if you listen to just the instrumental, like, I give it to Jay-Z for riding that beat the way that he did, because if you listen to just the instrumental, it sounds very choppy how they chop that shit up. But they beefing.
I didn't even notice all that. And then he talks about the vocal, the choruses being in the wrong places. He says, if you listen and get your mind right, the chorus is in the wrong place. Like, I didn't even realize that. I'll have to go back and listen now. I like the Dynasty album, though.
I did too. It was a good introduction, and that was, the fucking fourth time Jay-Z had retired. He retired after Reasonable Doubt. He retired after Volume 2. He retired after The Dynasty. He retired after fucking Black Album. He can't seem to make up his mind with all that shit. Fucking Ross Perot of the game. But, so hopefully they figure that shit out.
Exactly.
I said get your money, though. Obviously, I don't know if he would have got blackballed in the industry. I'm guessing. I mean, come on, you fuck with someone like him, I would think you would. I mean, spending, as the article kind of goes on, right, as you just would know off hip hop facts, Young Guru became his replacement. I don't even know where the hell the whole element of Chauncey came from. So when they do tape transfers, is he talking about when they're given tracks over to the label heads?
Yeah, from the analog to the digital. Off the analog tape.
They used to bounce, like, even in the early 2000s, they would still bounce stuff out to, like, an analog tape and then, like, bounce that back in because it gave it, like, a warmer sound. When they master.
And so, we talked about that on our year-end episode last year when we were talking about fucking Childish Gambino's new album that why can't I think of the name of it?
Because of the internet.
Yeah, he did that with that album where he recorded it through Pro Tools, then they transferred it through an analog tape and then brought it back in so they could get the warmer, fatter sound. Because yeah, nothing sounds like fucking analog tape, just like nothing sounds like vinyl. Like an MP3 will never sound like a fucking vinyl did. Something about that realness, that warmth, that sound in it. So
For sure. So I'd love to hear that Childish Gambino. I want to hear the difference.
And I'm also a Childish Gambino stan, so I'm not afraid to admit it. I fucks with Childish Gambino. I gave it a high review. You said you ain't fuck with him?
I haven't fucked with him too much. I gotta mess with him. Someone said I sound like him.
Oh, bro?
Yeah, I don't know.
See, we're gonna have to put some links
like
up.
Rapping wise? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, because vocally, he can be a little bit different too, because sometimes he can be more nasally, and then sometimes he can get his I'm black feeling out, and he's like, you know, talk a little trill. But
yeah.
We'll gotta hear that. Actually, I gotta hear some of the stuff. I didn't even know that you spit. To be honest with you, that's kind of trips me out. I just thought you were hip hop.
It's the motherfucking Soey Sauce ball.
Rap though, you know.
I got all sorts of shit.
I know what we'll do too on the website, ibhmpodcast.com, after we get the show set up and all that, we're going to post some links of your shit, man. Promote it, man. Cool. Let some people check it out, man.
Cool. Oh, yeah. That's awesome. Thank you.
And it's all love, man. That's what we do around here. And on to the next one, I guess. Eminem, and shouts out to Eminem because I think this is kind of cool. He's presenting a reality show, if you will, called Total Slaughter, And I guess the main event, they're doing a reality show slash huge rap battle. And I guess the main event of the rap battle is Joe Budden and Hollow the Don. And so they're going to go ahead and I guess do this rap battle. I guess it starts off, they're going to do a reality show where it's a whole bunch of different people kind of living in a house and going back and forth, and they're going to battle kind of UFC tough enough style, if you will. And once they get up to the top, then these people get to do an undercard, and they're going to have a huge battle. And I guess with Eminem sponsoring it, it's going to bring some fucking light to it. And I think this is pretty dope for hip hop, and especially the battle community. The battle community doesn't get a lot of mainstream press, if you will, and so I think this is a cool event. So
Rum Nitty represents the battle of rappers out here. His name's Rum Nitty. He's crazy. He goes on those King of the Dot battles. He's been just killing cats on that King of the Dot.
Yeah. And I'm gonna check it out.
I didn't even throughout the whole fucking article that I was reading, I had no idea that it was gonna be a reality show. That was some kind of, he's trying to push some album, push a CD. I don't know how the hell I didn't catch it. How high was I when I was reading that shit? But honestly, that does work out. Not only does that bring him back to his roots, because I mean, isn't that kind of how he got famous or how he was known? I don't know. It's been a while since I've seen him now, right?
Yeah, so that's how he came into the game. And it's actually funny, that brings up a good story on the 8 Mile out, or the 8 Mile DVD, if you will. They had a special feature, and they were showing how they were recording all the battle scenes and all that. And I guess there was one instance where Eminem was real sick, and so they didn't want him to lose his voice. Yeah, and so they had him pantomiming, where they had the mic off, and he was pantomiming like he was freestyling and all that. And after so many hours of them shooting these different things, the crowd started getting restless, because it's like, oh man, we hearing Eminem ain't even fucking rapping and all that. And so people started booing. And so Eminem, on one part of the DVD, turned on the fucking his mic, and he got in this dude's ass while they were battling. It's just dope to see that Eminem, even at the height of his fame, hasn't left the roots of where he's at, because that's one of the things with Jay-Z. A lot of people kind of is upset about Jay-Z. He's completely gone away from his roots. The Jay-Z today isn't the Jay-Z of fucking 15 years ago, but the Eminem of today is fairly close enough to what he used to do back in the day, if you will. So
some would say that, or the fact that he realized, hey, this reality TV shit is my ticket back into the main screen. And who better to present fucking freestyle rap and then, you know what I'm saying, one of the ones who just king at it.
I think Eminem has always been one of the realists. Like, he's never changed. He's like, and then he's like all up front about his issues and his problems and shit, and like, I don't think he's ever even had trouble selling albums, even when he kind of like went away for 5-6 years or whatever, and then came back. Like, I don't think he had any problem selling those albums, because if you go to YouTube, those hits are crazy, and you know his iTunes hits are still just murdering.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, his last album, like, that shit was hard. Like, there was 5 or 6 songs. There were some trashers. There were some absolute trash songs on that last album that I liked to enjoy. But, no, there was like 5 or 6 ones where I was like, wow, this guy's still got it.
I mean, I think my only complaint with him is just the fact that he had popular singles, but you can't hate on the man for that. I mean, I'm actually a big pop music fan. I don't like some shits mixing in, you know what I mean? Like, it's weird how some people can, you eat fucking ketchup, you eat hamburger and french fries, yet you don't want your ketchup to touch your hamburger. It's kind of like, it's a weird sort of thing.
Yeah. And I know that is kind of the thing with M. He, I do like his new resurgence, if you will, because, he started off real strong. Slim Shady LP was hot. Fucking, Marshall Mathers LP was a fucking classic. Eminem Show was more emo, but he still was kind of there. And then
one of my favorites.
Yeah, Eminem Show was phenomenal, but then he kind of fell off with fucking, what was it, Encore, and then Relapse, and he kind of was losing it, but then he came back for recovery. He seems to mentally be in a good place, and I'd hope to see Eminem continue to make music, because I know one of the things I've always had an issue with hip-hop is the whole, you're too old to still be doing this. I hate that fucking mentality.
Right.
You got the Rolling Stones and fucking all these other rock and roll groups who go on and they're 50, 60 years old still doing world tours. Like, I want to see hip-hop do that. I want to see Nas be 50 years old and still fucking putting out dope material. Like, I don't want to see, oh, you're 38, you need to stop rapping. Like, fuck all that shit.
Right,
so,
right.
hope they continue to make good music and keep doing their damn thing. So
yeah, for sure. What was the one with Eminem and his boy Royce da 5'9"? That shit was ill.
Bad Meets Evil. The good and evil thing.
Yeah.
Bad Meets Evil. Yeah, that shit was fucking murder.
They were eating them beats alive. That shit was crazy. And what was so crazy about that too is, from what I heard, was they kind of rushed that project. It was like, okay, we cool now, you know, we need to put out something, and so they like rushed and put that CD out. And so I could just imagine what it would have sounded like if they really were like, let's just sit down for a year and work on this project. Right. So yeah, so
One thing, and I'm not too sure, because I'm trying to think back when we mentioned Encore, because I remember that was, I think, when it was kind of falling off. But then again, that was more era of 50. And, when 50 was like, I'm not saying that he would have, because I don't even think he had a lot of great beats, to be honest with you. Even from Massacre to even, Massacre, I think, was one of the ones where he had more beats on than he did on Get Rich or Die Trying. But so it wasn't like it was a matter of not having, you know, the right stuff, but, I don't know.
Yeah, and I know, I think on during around Encore, M's head just wasn't in the game. He wasn't as focused as he had been in the past. And I know even fucking Encore had some joints on there that I was a big fan of, but just overall as a collective album, his head wasn't in the right place, so.
Yeah, 100% on that.
And it's actually funny, because speaking about people, were you going to say something, Papo?
I was going to say, now he's kind of whiny now, but I mean, hey, that don't take away from the lyricism.
Yeah. And it's actually funny, because speaking of people trying to stay relevant, 50 Cent has a new album coming in June. And I want to know, asking both of you guys, is anyone excited about that?
You know, it's funny. I watched an interview with him in Funk Flex last night. It was a very recent interview, and he was talking about different things. I'll check it out. I'll definitely check it out. I'll give 50 the chance. I mean, 50 had a couple albums that changed the game, 10, 11 years ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he hasn't really done that now, but, like, you still got to credit him. I mean, he kind of, like, definitely, he definitely made an impact on hip-hop, for sure.
He did.
I'm excited about it. I remember hearing a few singles. I don't like how hard he's trying to push this kid named Kid. He sounds like it's a nobody from Louisiana, which he actually, you know, that's properly a good suited term for him, just a nobody from Louisiana. But I wonder, like, you know, what he sees in the guy. I mean, supposedly when he backs an artist, he says he sees a little bit of himself, which, I mean, I can't, but then again, I mean, who can judge potential? But I'm excited to hear. I heard some of the few singles where it sounded gritty, but then I just reheard the new single that he has with Kid, and it was like, it's that flashy shit that people got tired of 54. Like, we want that fucking Get Rich or Die Trying 50.
We want that hungry 50. Yeah. That's what it comes down to, yeah.
And with its fucking name, you figure, right, he's gonna be hungry. He's gonna, you know.
Exactly. And that's the thing with, it's funny because, like, I gave no fucks about 50 having a new album coming out. But then I was like, let me go ahead and revisit some of that old 50 shit. And so on Google Play, I made little instant mints with 50 Cent. And I will admit, I forgot how fucking hard 50 went. Like, when 50 was on it, he was on it. And I would actually credit 50 Cent, and not as an insult to him, but 50, in a way, kind of killed the gangster rap genre, I think, in the sense of, it couldn't get any realer than 50 when it came to gangster rap. Like, all that shit that a lot of these fake ass rappers are talking about in the game, shouts out to correction officer Rick Ross, all this shit that dudes is talking about, like, 50 has a paper trail that he's done all this shit. The man's been shot 9 times. The man has been stabbed. He's going to jail for selling drugs. He's been, like, all that shit that niggas wish that they lived through, like, he's lived it. And so it was like, how do you get harder than 50? You need a nigga that gets shot 15 times and he survived? like, where do you go from there with fucking gangster rap? And so I think it kind of killed the game, if you will, of, and I think that's the reason why, from a mainstream level, hip hop has turned around and gone the Drake route, and, if you will, gotten so soft, because the shit goes in circles. It was the same thing going back in the day when fucking 50 and the shiny suits started getting hot, and that was what everybody was on, that shiny suit shit and the Playboy shit. And then when DMX came, DMX kind of changed the game. It was back to that gritty, broke looking nigga type shit.
Yeah. It was okay to be in a wife beater and some khakis.
Exactly.
And I was just looking up his album, his, Slippin', the album we're slipping with. It's not as fucking hell as hot. The next one.
Flesh of My Blood.
Yeah, so Flesh of My Flesh. Slippin' was the single, and like, that song is super hard. You could not get away with that right now in hip hop. Like, you, as the single, no way. That's way too underground. It's way too, like, grimy. I'm falling. I can't get up. So grimy. And like, you know what I wish DMX would do now? Because he's still like around, actually. Yeah. I know he's getting like cleaned up or whatever, but regardless, he's still around. I wish he would take out the grime, though. He used to talk rap more. You know what I'm saying? He used to talk. He wasn't always screaming. He would elevate into the screams and then come back down. Yes. I wish he would do that. Now he's full scream. Same with Eminem. Eminem used to talk rap more. When Eminem will talk rap more, it's way better than when he's like, Havoc and amoxicillin. Like, he doesn't have to be like an amoxicillin scream.
Yeah, you gotta learn to ride that wave of the cadence and all that. And that shouts out to Kendrick. Kendrick is real good at that right now, with being able to ride the cadences and flip around and go from the scream to the whisper. He has that down. And yeah, I do agree, Eminem, I don't know what the fuck happened, but yeah, when he disappeared after Encore, and then he went into that relapse shit with all the fucking accents and all that, and then he got past the accents, but now he's screaming on everything. It's just like, man, just take it back a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
I gotta show you that I'm hard, though. I don't know any way to show you that I'm hard unless I go hard.
Exactly.
Shit, and I this mind frame going into, but I'm excited to see. I got really excited. I don't know if you guys. I didn't even know. I knew the contract was up. I thought it was done an album ago. I guess it was.
Glad you brought that up. Yeah.
You know how he's no longer now with Shitty and Aftermath. Which I figured, like, of course, why the fuck would you stay somewhere? It's going to take so much of a cut that really no one, kind of, not to say no one gives a fuck about, because, I mean, it's still notoriety, but, I mean, what good does that do you when you are, when you're kind of on the same level of those that are, you know, that are backing? It's kind of like, this, there's no need for it. No need to share, be sharing pockets the way that you do, so.
Yeah, I know, because that's the thing, like, I get a trip out of some artists that, I think LL is one of the big ones too. I don't get, like, when you reach a certain level of success in this social media market that we're in now with Twitter and with YouTube and Bandcamp and all these kinds of things, like, you don't need a label anymore. And especially if you're 50 Cent rich, you don't need a label. You can do that on your own. Yeah.
You need an indie label, that's it. Just like an indie one for yourself.
So, I mean, just distribution, really, which I understand why he went with Capital, because I know that, I mean, how long has E-40 been doing this shit for? I mean, forever. I mean, even Daz, I remember one of my, I don't know if you guys ever, did you guys ever get Scratch, the magazine, back when it was out?
Yeah, I used to get that back in the day.
It was one of my, it only lasted 2 years, but goddamn, it was one of my favorite, magazines ever, and that's when I was in my dorkiest of, you know, beat-making, you know, times, and anyways. There's an article I remember reading where Daz bought a fucking plantation in Georgia where he actually distributes CDs. I'm not too sure if he gets a little fat off of just this, you know, pressing for other people. But motherfucker has a distribution thing, or at least he did at one point. So I figured, like, why wouldn't you just do that? Like, why need you know, this, you know, because I've heard of other indie people kind of going to the Capitol, and I'm not too sure if I told you this one kid that wanted me to manage for him or whatever like that. Apparently he was trying to just push some shit like that with Capitol. So, but I just figured that if you already have your own team base, and I'm pretty sure he has hella connects that can do, you know, online shit, like, why would you need to go anywhere else, or why would you even need to join some shit like that? But
yeah, and all you need is a hustle. Fucking my last album came out the end of 2011, and I still get royalty checks in the mail from fucking CD Baby and iTunes to this day, and I ain't promoted that fucking CD since like the beginning of 2012, and I still get royalty checks in the mail. So if I could do it with not a huge fan base at all, you rappers in the game who have money, you could fucking do it. Just get off your ass and stop worrying about what the Nets niggas gonna do for you. Do it your motherfucking self. So,
Where? Yeah. And I don't know if it was I was in Tigger. It was somebody had got. It was one of the. Oh shit! For the problems, I remember seeing a video on his ass. He fucking got shit out of luck with his contract because he was a real nigga with it when he got that royalty, not the royalty money, that advance check that they gave him.
Yeah.
Well, you know, fucking all the you know dumb shit the motherfuckers do with money.
Yeah.
And, you got to pay all that shit back. I mean, that was all for that album. So I laugh at shit like that. Same thing with Tigger. I mean, he ain't getting no goddamn royalties because he still hasn't paid out his fucking. You know, his front end from this little Young Money shit, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You got motherfuckers starving, you know, but you gotta live this flashy exterior. So.
Yeah. So.
That's just one of the shames in hip-hop, I say.
That's and, crazy. And actually, speaking of shame in hip-hop, I don't even know this fucking dude, but some dude, Chris Bearer, who's supposedly, I guess, in Wu-Tang, was high off of PCP and cut his wang off.
I was gonna say there's 9 motherfuckers I can't think of.
He's not a part of Wu Tang though.
Oh, okay, yeah. Can you break it down? Who exactly is?
So there was he was like a part of a rap group, and I forget the name of the rap group, but they were some sort of Killer Bee affiliate.
Okay.
It wasn't even like it was like a light affiliation basically.
Okay. Because everybody's been picking up the story, kind of just calling him a Wu-Tang Clan affiliated, like he was like a big name, and I was like, I don't even know who the fuck this dude is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the nigga was high off of PCP, and he used a steak knife and cut his thing off, and, ooh, wait, this is getting graphic. He started by cutting off the tip of his penis, and then removed the rest along with his testicles, like... How fucking high are you to even contemplate to do some shit like that? Like, I don't know, man. That's some fucked up shit.
Now, I only know the term, well, not only, but the only time I ever had a clear description, because motherfuckers make up so many names for shit, was when I was watching Training Day. So PCP ain't weed, is it?
No, it's Angel Dust. It's you.
Is it like Sherm?
It in with weed. No, I don't think it's. No, it's not Sherm.
Oh no, that's the shit that people put in the dead body. Never mind.
The wet, yeah, the embalming fluid or whatever. But no, yeah, PCP is Angel Dust, if I'm not mistaken. And you can mix it in with marijuana and smoke it. And don't know why anybody would want to do that if it's going to make you cut off your wang, because I'm very good friends with my wang, so I couldn't imagine myself wanting to do that. That's ridiculous.
That's crazy. Yeah, I guess he was with a group called North Star.
Okay.
Bobby Digital presents North Star in 04, so they put it on the album.
So he was cool at RZA then.
Kind of like under RZA, yeah.
Okay, that makes sense then.
I mean, I've done some depressing things when high, but damn, like... I don't God, I mean, I don't know. God talks to me in some weird fucking ways where I just feel like I just need to become a fucking monk, not touch a goddamn thing, be toes alone.
We got
internal praying. But
we got Popo turning. We got Popo turning into a monk. He's about to head out to motherfucking Budapest and become a monk. You got me turning into a hippie. I'm heading hopefully to South America next year to try some ayahuasca.
Yeah,
like, like changing the motherfucking game. That's crazy.
You know what's kind of funny? When you say black hippie, I remember I saw. Maybe the first time I saw. Have you ever seen a black emo guy?
Not too many.
No, when I seen a I don't say a cult, but when I seen I don't want to say a gang, when I seen a group of black emos, swear to God they just look Jamaican, like they're just wearing Jamaican shit. And then when you say a black hippie, I'm like, that just makes me think of a Jamaican. So it's like, is that what's happening here? You start speaking patois to me, motherfucker. Like, is that what's going on?
I got a book on it, so yeah. So I'm gonna brush up on that, head out to Jamaica, fucking join with the Marleys, man. It's a wrap. It is a wrap.
You're going to be a rude boy here, and he's saying,
rude boy don't want none. Bumper clot.
Yeah, I was going to say. Bumper clot, motherfuckers.
For real. And it's actually funny, because speaking of a done deal, fucking Chingy had came up. I don't know if you guys had followed this story a couple of years ago of Chingy having a rumored affair with a transsexual by the name of Sydney Starr. And I remember this popped off a couple of years ago because she started kind of snitching on them before, this was before the era of Cat Stacks, and she started snitching on dudes saying that they were in a relationship together, and he kept denying it, but then she started leaking videos on World Star Hip Hop of them hanging out and her being at his shows and all that, and Chingy just recently came out and he's accused, or he said that the accusations of him being in a relationship with transsexual Sydney Starr has fucked up his career, and he feels that he fell off because of that. And I beg to differ, because I think he fell off because the music fucking sucked. No, that's why you fell the fuck off. You suck. It had nothing to do with whoever you were dating. It comes down to you just fucking suck, Chingy. Just go the fuck away. So I thought that was fucking funny.
Yeah, it says that she came out and said she lied about it.
Everybody kind of goes back on their word when it comes to that shit. Like, oh, you know, I mean, it's obviously, it's always a publicity stunt, but I laugh that he kind of clutches that as the theme, the reason why. Like, Denver, I like how in the article it refers to him as the right there artist. And it kind of did that right there, didn't it? Was that, because yeah. that was post. The hotel, right? Or the Holiday
Inn? He had a couple other ones. There were some other ones. It was like Tyrese was on that. Come home with me. Someone. There was something.
I do remember that.
Amber Bynes, and I don't regret it. I mean, there's a lot of shit I regret buying. This is in the era when I had a whole lot of money and Target had them exclusives and, you know,
$9.99
that album, yeah, with the bonus DVD. Anyways, they were buying Powerballin', and I can't remember one fucking single from that shit. That was the last time now that I bought anything of his, and the last time I think I ever just heard of him. Besides, I saw him get all fucking Dr. Dre, fucking New Nelly buff. And then just never heard from him. I saw him on the Vlad video, and he just...
Oh, Holiday Inn, too. That's
Holiday Inn, yeah.
But I think that was one of his first singles, wasn't it?
Well, there was a bunch of them. Like, he had a bunch of songs, and then, yeah, he definitely just fell off. He definitely fell off hard.
So, yeah, and apparently he blames the tranny.
That'd be his way back into the industry. Like, that's what he fucking should do. Like, no. Y'all...
What he should do, he should steal a book out of Young Thug, and he should go ahead and admit that he was in a relationship with a transgender woman. They should do a hip-hop combo, since the gay community is getting so fucking big within the world, and then he can get the gay community to team up with Lady Gaga and him, and that'll be his resurgence getting back in the game. That's all he gotta do.
Have you guys seen Throw That Boy Pussy?
Oh my god.
Have you guys seen Throw That Boy Pussy yet?
Yes. Ridiculous. Oh, you ain't seen it?
No, what the fuck is that? Is that a song?
You should watch it right now while we should watch your reaction live.
Yes.
You watch this.
That sounds foul.
Go ahead and Google just Throw Google That Boy Pussy.
Yes.
What is it called?
Throw That Boy Pussy.
Alright, well, let me look it up on the IBHM podcast Gmail thing, because I don't want that shit on my soul bump.
I don't want that shit in my search history. But it's by, Fly Young Red.
There's lyrics to it, too, apparently.
Oh, shit, wait, let me turn this down.
Fly Young Red, okay, so that's all.
Wait, I got it buffering in the background. Let me know when y'all ready. We can all play this at the same time and react to this shit live.
I wish we could screen share it on one and then have that be the audio.
I still can't figure out how to fucking do that. We tried that on our first live show and the shit fucked up. I'm gonna put a link on the IBHM podcast for the people who watch this on demand. We'll put a video on there so you guys can watch it from the website live with us. But it's by Fly Young Red, and it's called Throw That Boy Pussy. Oh wait, shit, I think Ramen got it.
It sounds like an Altar Boy song. Is that what this is?
Hold on.
Altar Boy Anthem?
Well, I think Rami may have figured it out. He got a screen share going on.
Word.
Okay, hold up. Throw That Boy Pussy. Hold up. I don't want to click videos. Videos, here we go. Fly Young Red. Okay, here we go.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
Can you guys see that, though?
Yeah, I can see it.
Okay.
Full screen that bitch.
There we go. Oh.
This is serious. Just let me know when to, like, cut this.
Nah, just let that shit play.
It looks like Chance the Rapper. No way.
He said no way.
This shit is ridiculous.
I can barely hear it, but is he just chanting, throw that boy pussy?
Throw that boy pussy.
Is he like a notable queer or?
Yeah, so he's supposed to be the first openly gay rapper.
Oh, God. Ah! I just hit the claps. I can't. It's buffering too much. I can hardly see it for all its fagginess. I can't truly enjoy it. But.
Yo, he got the video hoes, yo, and they're all fucking just dudes throwing a boy pussy.
Why doesn't he have any dude with fat asses, though? I don't get it.
You can at least have a fat ass if you go throw that shit, yo.
No, seriously. That kind of upsets me. Like, no, that's... Like, nigga, that's gay. That's gayer than what a gay is intended to be.
Shit.
Yeah, there you go.
That shit is hilarious. So that's Throw That Boy Pussy. For those who missed it, we'll have a link on the motherfucking IBHM podcast page. And yeah, there was a rumor that was going around that Lil Wayne signed him, because of course, you know, everybody's still calling Lil Wayne gay. And so there was a rumor, but I guess somebody in Young Money came out and was like, no, that's not what happened. We didn't sign no gay rapper and all that shit. But
not until I believe it, I feel like Nivea was his beard. I mean, that's just how it was. Because I don't know how, and I feel like this bitch must have got bought out fucking supremely. Because I don't know, and mind you, I don't know the dream. You know, I don't know him personally. He could be a total asshole, I mean, but he makes really fucking great music. So you figure he'd have to be real romantic. So I don't know any bitch that would fucking leave an R&B singer.
Yeah.
Fucking like that, just to make some babies. That was his beard.
That shit is hilarious. So,
but I told you though, did I? I don't know if I remember it, but if I gotta tell you, when I was revealing to a local artist, hip hop artist, and you know how homophobic we are in the hip hop community.
Hip hop world, yeah.
I was talking about Young Thug being gay, because he was fucking, this nigga was bumping fucking that Young Thug. I'm a stoner. Which I guess I could admit that kind of is catchy, you know what I'm saying? But then again, I don't like being called a stoner, so I mean, I'm not proud of that fucking, of that statement. So anyway, so I got real fucking haterific or haterazzi on his ass, and I was like, you know he gay, right? This motherfucker threw a goddamn fit. What do you mean he's gay? Take that shit back, dog. I'm like,
he's
gay. Like, he likes dick in his mouth.
And you it's know, crazy.
I always gotta fuck it up and say some fucked up shit. I'm like, nah.
Yeah. And actually, Ramen, have you heard that story about the Young Thug guy?
No, I haven't heard that. I'm on his Wikipedia page right now. I haven't heard shit about this. I know that song. I'm a stoner.
So they're trying to figure out if he's this generation's Gangstalicious, because he is just very suspect. A lot of shit that he's doing with, like, wearing dresses and photo shoots, and then, like, all the cats that's in his gang, he calls them his loves and his babes and all that. And then, like, there was a video that leaked, and he was at a strip club, and some stripper was backing that thing up on him, and he was just, like, not interested, and he, like, put $1,000 in her little G-string, but he, like, wasn't paying attention, and he walked over to hang with his homeboys. And so, like, they're really promoting that he might be a gay rapper, but some people are like, he's just trying to capitalize off of, a lot of people know that Atlanta, like San Francisco, it's a lot of gay people out there, and they think that he's trying to capitalize off of the gay market, if you will, in Atlanta.
Which is damn well what I would do, but come on now.
But it's real fucking suspect. And yeah, if you Google Young Thug, and there's a bunch of videos and pictures, and some dude got shot up, and he was at his babe, and oh, I'm here for you, this is my babe, this is the love of my life, and like, I don't know, man, it's just... I don't know. And a gay rapper is right around the corner. That's the next thing the machine is going to push. They're eventually going to push a gay rapper. And so either Fly Young Red or Young Thug is going to go ahead and take that. And I just saw the missus just walking out of the background, cutting in on the show.
That's wild, man. That's really wild. I mean, I don't really see anything wrong with pushing the gay thing. I don't know how you guys feel about it. Actually, you know, interestingly enough, one of the members of our group, she's a lesbian, and Jamie K.
Oh, yeah, you fucked up, because Popo got a thing for dykes, so you just fucked up.
Yeah, she's a lesbian. Her name is Yami K. I've got some songs with her, and we performed at the 2014 Phoenix Pride Festival.
Oh, that's ill.
Oh, yeah.
On the main stage at 5 p.m. in front of thousands of people.
It was the most incredible experience I've ever been, like, as far as stage performance-wise. It was 100% just a humongous stage, professional, like, rock star quality. Like, when they gave you the mic, it was like a Shure SM58 wireless. Perfect, crispy quality. Like, speakers, like, ridiculous. A huge Jumbotron behind us. Anyways, that was just my show experience. But, it was interesting, like, being at the...
promotion, man, that's the fucking best place to do it. Like, real talk, like, that's the gay community is fucking is a ridiculous community.
Yeah. They support it.
Yes, they do. Yes. And really quickly, since you mentioned it, I have been hesitant to go because I'm not in the shape that I'd like to be. Because if I go, real talk, and I ain't gay, I want to be in some fucking assless chaps. Like, I real talk, like, I don't know if you saw my last picture on Instagram. Like, I want to be able to show my legs and just fucking just have my ass out. I'm not even kidding. And just so I can fucking fish out the dikes and be like, yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby. You know what I'm saying? I want to
feel sexy if you're out there. I hate those lazy ass dikes that fucking just have the little white feeder and they're staying on the hat looking all cookie-cutter looking dyke. No, give me something authentic. I want that half, you know, half-patch shave. I want some I want to see a bitch that fucking actually went to it and put some effort into that shit. That also makes that feel so high. But that's why I haven't gone, because I'm not in the physique shape that I would want to be. Yeah. You gotta go assless chaps. That's how I feel.
See, and I'm all for the gay community. I think that they should legalize gay marriage across the nation. I think the most important thing about it is that the government shouldn't be able to tell who and who can't get married. That's my big thing about it. The only worry I have about it with the pushing of the gay agenda is with people or corporations, I'll say, who are kind of taking advantage of it and trying to make money off of it. Yeah, that's when I get upset. Like, I have no problem with the openly gay rapper coming out and promoting, like, this is who I am. Fuck you if you don't like it. Like, I'm all about that. I'm concerned about a person like Young Thug not being gay, but acting like he's gay to make money off of it because the gay community supports one another so much. And so that's my only concern about hip-hop pushing a gay rapper, is just let him be a gay rapper and let him be himself and just let him do his fucking thing. We, talked about it not a whole lot, but a while ago. I'm a big WWE fan. I fucks with pro wrestling, and they had a guy last summertime. He came out that he was openly gay.
And TMZ.
Shouts out to TMZ. He did an interview. His name is Darren Young. He came out that he was homosexual and he's a professional wrestler. And I'm glad that the WWE has still been promoting him and using him like they have been using him, but they have been trying to capitalize off of him being gay. Let's make $1 million off him because he's gay. Like, just let him do his thing. So. Oh, and I got a baby trying to.
And you figure, like, it wouldn't be difficult for people in the wrestling community to get other sweaty guys in thongs to wrestle. Sweaty guys in thongs. Like, you figure this would just be the next logical step, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Say hi to the people.
Zay.
I got my 1-year-old Zay in the building. Say what up. Say what it do. He don't know what's going on.
Oh, he's going to. Give it to the kid.
Kai just popped up. Wait, come here. You gotta say hi to the folks. Kai, go ahead. Say what's up to the people.
What's up, Kai?
Why you being all shy? You on TV. Millions of people watching you. Say something.
Ramen, have you seen the show Don't Trust the Bitch in Apartment 23?
No.
Wait, no? What?
I'll bring this up later, and I'm gonna show you a verse who Kai kind of remind me of back when he had his fro.
Before the cut.
We'll get to that once we do dedications, and that way you can. Okay. I'll let you.
So I guess moving on with the show, did you guys see this about the game and T.I. got into an intense standoff with the LAPD? I had watched this on TV, or not on TV, on TMZ, and it was ill. And I have to give it up to the game and T.I. for standing up to the cops. But apparently, for the people who don't know, is a group of guys were told that a mutual acquaintance of both Game and T.I. were denied entrance at a supper club. The guys began arguing furiously with security when one member of the posse threw a punch at a security guy. And you can hear the punch, I guess, at the beginning of the fight video. And security for the club then descended on two members of the posse and beat them to a bloody pulp, at one point kicking one of them in the face while they were down. then apparently the LAPD cops became present at the fight and they came over to talk about it, and the game and T.I. and they homeboys stood up like, nah, we ain't gonna leave until we figure out who jumped our homeboy. And I thought it was ill. So I want to think, see y'all, your guys' thoughts on that.
I didn't get to catch the video though. I read the article. I didn't actually watch the video like they were, like, they're all like screaming like a motherfucker. I'm assuming if it was a standoff, you figure there's some shouting, right? Is that what happened?
Yeah, I saw the video. So basically, they wouldn't let one of the guys in. They fought the security. It was really the security that beat the guys down, and then they, I don't know why, they came out screaming at the cops. It wasn't even really the cops' deal. They were just kind of,
they were
getting hype on the cops kind of for no reason, actually. But like,
yeah.
They were trying to like defend their dude or whatever, and then it just got even sillier because then like other people like got involved or whatever, and then it was just like a pushing and shouting match. Game tried to like take his shirt off and like get hard.
Get all stuff.
Yeah, he was like taking his shirt off, but his boy was like, "All right, bro, nah, like calm down," type of thing.
Yeah, because I guess that was the story that T.I. and Game were in the club, and they just heard one of the boys got stomped out, and when they came out, they saw the cops, and so they automatically assumed that it was the cops that did it. And then so they stood their ground, but then one of the cops did kind of piss me off, because a dude pulled out like a shotgun, and he was standing there with his shotgun, and it's like, I'm not one of those F the cops kind of people. Like, the cops are needed in society, but some cops do kind of push situations a little too far. Like, okay, it's just a standoff. Nobody on this side of it has their guns. All these guys, or nobody on Game and T.I. side, none of them have weapons out. The cops, all you guys have batons and all that. Why did that extra cop need to pull out that gun? Like, now you're intensifying the situation.
Yeah. Well, that's how it is lately. These cops have been trigger happy. You got to be so careful now. Did you see the story about the guy who was in the standoff in L.A. just a couple days ago, last week or something? He was in the standoff in L.A. He just got out of his car and they shot beanbags at him. And people in this restaurant were filming the whole thing because it was a cop standoff.
Yeah.
So he gets out of his car with his dog and they run down these stairs. And the guy filming swings the camera around to capture the top. So he runs down these stairs. And there's the beach right here. So there's like the beach. He runs down these stairs. And then the cops are shooting beanbags from him up here. The cops down here think he's having a shoot-off with the cops up there.
Oh.
And they people blast him in front of these people at this. They just quickly like blast. Buck the dude down right on camera. And then you see him like flop struggling for life on this video, and these people in this restaurant are like, oh my god, what the hell? They're like, oh my god. And that's because the cops, man, are so quick to like pull the trigger nowadays, bro. You know,
yeah,
be so careful. That's what those bitch ass cops do.
Yeah. And that's why I'm
I see two notable gangster known niggas, and of course I'm up with the show. You gotta scare them a little bit. You can't let them think it's just
you gotta put these gangster rappers in their place.
Can't block these bullets.
And that shit is crazy, because I'm glad, I forgot what city that was, but some city is incorporating where the cops have a live video camera on them whenever they go out now, so it's recording everything. And they said the police brutality in that city has dropped by like 40% since they increased it, because now that, okay, we're watching you now, so now you can't escalate a situation then beat the crap out of somebody and be like, oh, it was his fault. No, we have you on camera now. So like, yes, uphold the law, keep everything in order, but don't go out because you got a badge on and just start starting shit. Like, it drives me nuts. But
Yeah, for
the
sure.
Cops for you, man.
Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah. And then, Popo, I was going to have you read this Nets article, because actually I got to take a piss real quick. So, Popo, if you could go ahead and let these people know about how the NYPD got Twitter all the fuck wrong.
Okay, I had to take my shit myself, but yeah, go ahead and read this article. No problem.
Be right back.
Go ahead and pinch my cheeks. And this actually was one of my favorite tales on here, but I guess the way they're saying is Twitter's a cool website where you can type any old thing in a box and just send it out to either one person in particular, the whole entire world. And obviously, that's a no-go. And they pretty much just have the NYPD had a hashtag thing, the MyNYPD, and just had real hilarious ass, can you figure, and I've never been out there, man. Have you visited out there in New York before?
I've never been out there, no, man. But that's really funny. So they said, hey, tweet us a picture if you're ever standing with the NYPD. And people were just blasting these brutal brutality ones?
Yeah, yeah. Which I would figure, I know if I were to go, I'd be hella touristy, you know, I'd want to see all the sights, and, you know, I'd want to, you know, definitely would want to take a picture with the NYPD, just because you figure, like, hey, you know, I feel real New York-y, I won't even do the, even though I know it wasn't in New York, I'd be like fucking, I forget what his name is, the dude who played the Fonz, I'd be like the fucking Fonz, just like, hey, just taking pictures with cats. But obviously it's the internet day and age to where we can take one thing and totally misconstrue it. That's why one of my models on my weekly website is I did it for the screenshot, because that's exactly what happens. You know, you send a bitch something and it just like kind of like, what is it, the brand that they read to you? You know, anything you say will be used.
You know, used against you, yeah.
That's why you don't say shit. That's why you just say, hey, listen, I really don't want to talk right now. I'm not going to say much. And then you ask them, like, if you're being detained, you can get, like, they don't, unless you're being detained for something, you can basically walk away. You don't have to say shit or answer to anybody.
Yeah, well, that's really not the case when you're dealing with a bitch with that has a grudge out for you. That's why I mentioned the whole screenshot thing. But as far as this goes, I mean, obviously, I mean, it's, what is it? Some, most of the pics that I'm seeing there for these beatings are like when they did the whole Occupy Wall Street sort of thing. So
just
a little thing that we get to flip around and use for the greater bad. And, you know, what better way to show what you're doing than to fucking put it online? Thank you, Twitter.
And it's funny because I get a kick out of this, because so many corporations are trying to use Twitter and they have no idea how to use Twitter. Like, this, someone in the NYPD should have been like, this isn't a good idea. Like, somebody should have said that. Same thing with R. Kelly's record label when he was getting ready to come back and they had that hashtag Ask R. Kelly Anything and everybody started asking about the sets tapes and all that. Like, corporations. Yeah, the Ass R. Kelly thing, and everybody was like, who's the 12-year-old you're dating this week? And it's like, hey, corporations don't understand how to use these. Social media is a bunch of assholes. You got a bunch of people who are from their smartphones or from their computer are going to say exactly how they feel. And if you're someone like the NYPD or R. Kelly or Chris Brown or something, they're going to tell you exactly how they feel. And so I thought that was hilarious that they tried to celebrate the NYPD. But they came across some blues.
That was a fucking fail. And actually, one of the best companies that I've seen do Twitter, and I've only noticed it because of Tumblr postings, was Taco Bell. Like, they really, they're not shy about, you know, they capitalize on the stoner market, calling it, you know what I'm saying, the after hours. You know, super munchy special. Like, they don't, you don't fuck it. Like, you can't be afraid about it. You gotta fully embrace it. Like, even Jack in the Box, when they did, I think they have a Munchies box. I'm not sure if it's Taco Bell or
Jack in the Box has the Munchies box. Yeah.
Even then, when they did their one commercial for the some kind of bacon hamburger, like, they have the little cow pigs, and like it's no joke. We're gonna slaughter these fuckers. We're not gonna tell you that it doesn't come from it. Like, I don't know. Being out in the open is freer. So it's like, you know, it's
what these corporations really need to do. Like, if you want to use social media, what you should do is hire an intern that came out of college. Like, get a college intern who knows about what's popular, what's popping, what ain't, and get them to handle these kind of things. Don't have some 40-year-old dude that just hopped on Twitter for the first time 2 weeks ago and, hey guys, this is a good idea. No, get people who understand social media and how that platform works, and then maybe it'll work a little better for you.
It's kind of like, hey, have you heard about these hashtag things? Let's make a bunch of hashtags.
Try this one out.
Exactly.
So, speaking of people who ain't got their shit together, good old Donald Sterling from the NBA Clippers, my nigga, has been banned for life from the NBA from a tape that got leaked by his girlfriend, I guess, if you will. And the NBA has gave him a... where is it at? After making racist comments and getting recorded, Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, came out and has forced Mr. Sterling to sell the Clippers, and they're expecting to get 3/4 of approval from other owners in the league, and they are kicking him out for all that racist shit that he was saying. And I wanted to see your guys' opinion on Mr. Good Old Donald Sterling.
Jeez, man. Did you guys hear the tape? I didn't even hear the tape.
I got to listen to a good portion of it.
Was it bad? What was he saying?
He wasn't like, from what I heard, because I hear there's a bunch of tapes that are coming out. It was a bunch of extensive other things that he was saying. But the majority of what he was saying was he was upset because she took a picture with Magic Johnson and posted it on Instagram. And he had basically said, I don't care.
Is that where all these pictures of Magic Johnson, the memes were? Because I was like, where's this shit? Why? Okay, that makes sense.
And his whole thing was, he was like, because it's only obvious that that's his trophy girlfriend. You know, he's an old troll looking motherfucker. And so he's not pulling
pictures of the wife and the girlfriend all in one fucking pic. Like, this motherfucker had it made.
Oh, he was living it up. That's what you do when you're a billionaire. And dude had said that he didn't care if she was having sex with black men, but don't be taking pictures and promoting that you cool with black people. And he just kind of went on a long rant, just kind of talking about black people, and she was like, you understand that, like, I'm half black? And then he said something ridiculous, like, you know, you can have that removed, like, I guess he knows about some DNA things that I've never heard of, like, I don't know. But, so yeah, he just said a bunch of negative things about black people and just not associating with them and all that. And, oh, I'm not racist, but just don't hang out with black people. And he got recorded, and a bunch of people came out. A lot of conservatives are on his side saying that, oh, you know, that's unfair that he was getting secretly recorded and all that. And I, for one, I don't have a problem with the secret recordings, because in secret, you're going to say exactly how the fuck you feel. Like, you're going to be honest in secret. And so that's honestly how he feels. But on the other side of it, the girlfriend ain't shit, because, yeah, she just saw this as a way to make some money off him. Let me go ahead, because she obviously, you can't be in a relationship with someone who's fucking racist and not know it. Like, there's no way that was the first time she heard him say something racist. So she used it to capitalize off it. So if you ask me, neither one of them is shit. If you ask me, both of them is full of shit. But I just thought that was funny, and I do think that, yeah, him getting banned from the league isn't a bad thing. But also, on the flip side of that, he's an old white billionaire. I'm pretty sure a bunch of the owners talk like this in private. It's just the nature of, you get older white men who are rich. They're not around black people. They have an opinion about them. I'm not surprised. So, yeah, that is what it is. So, he's gone.
My hell kick. I'm sorry. Go, Ramen.
No, I'm just saying it's fucked up. It's retarded. I don't understand.
You mean fucked up that he's being kicked out, right? Like, how such travesty for him to bare his soul to the bits that he's boning. Like, how dare she use this shit against him? And actually, what's really fucked up in the state of Arizona, I don't know if y'all knew this, but apparently it's totally legal if only one party knows that the conversation is being recorded. How shiesty is that?
I learned that from John Jay and Rich. Yeah, all you need is one person to approve it, and the other person could not know that they're being recorded, and it's perfectly legal because one person gave consent. Yeah.
And I think in the state of California, and I'm not sure if it's California, in some states, that's illegal, and it's only okay if three parties are aware of the situation, which kind of makes me figure, like, well, how many motherfuckers are included in this? So if that made that shit legal, that means that it was a fucking... They had to applaud to this shit, and obviously people in the industry, you know, they all talk like that. I mean, not to downplay, but we can honestly say the NBA, and if not more like, you know, other sport teams as well, it's dominantly black, is it not?
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure these white billionaires see them as a little slave monkeys, a little working monkeys, and you know what I'm saying, what have you. So you know how they talk like that.
100 around here, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So because you know this shit, like, you know, they know about it. They don't give a fuck. And yet this bitch who's been fucking blowing this guy for I don't know how long, like, I don't know. Like, I think I even heard something about him saying that he should just pay the bitch, which he should have.
And I guess that's where this came from, because she was trying to get some money from him, and he was like, no. And she was like, well, I'm going to release the tape if you don't. And then he was like, I don't care. So she released the tape. I'm hearing that is how all this came about. But Popo has a good point.
That's extortion, though.
Yeah.
Any side bitch has that power over you, though. Let's let that move. That's a fact.
That's the reason why neither one of these people are shit. But I do agree with Popo that that's exactly what it is in the NBA. It's it's a new form. I don't even want to say slavery. I can't think of a better term for it, but it's a plantation slavery, if you will. You have a whole bunch of brothers who are sitting around playing basketball. You got a whole bunch of these Jangos running around playing basketball, and you got these billionaires up in the press boxes who are paying them for their own entertainment and capitalizing and making money off of them. And that's the reason why. I've said it before and I say it again. I give no fucks how much money athletes make. I don't give a damn that Kobe made $30 million this year, this season, and he's not a doctor. He's not saving the world. He shouldn't be making that much money, because at the end of the day, there's a fucking guy up in the press box who is making way more money than him. And that $30 million is just the crumbs that he's dishing off to Kobe.
Like, you're pushing for 30? Isn't that sweet?
I give no fucks. Get that motherfucking guap while you can. So,
yeah. So I kind of was like, damn. When I don't know what the hell the whole big. All I know is that one moment, because you know I don't keep up with sports. One moment I'm fucking going through IG and I just see a swarm of this shit. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
And I will say this, though, because this is a good time for black Americans to capitalize, because I've talked about on the show, black people don't really own shit in America. Even the hip hop is run by Jewish men and white people, and same thing with the NBA and everything else. This is a perfect time for a Magic Johnson or somebody like that to step in and buy the Clippers and become the owner. So, yeah, let's flip this around. This racist motherfucker had an opinion about black people and all that. So let's have a black man like Magic Johnson buy it and take the Clippers to new heights. And that's how you beat them. You don't beat them by saying names back to them, oh, cracker ass cracker. That gets you nowhere. You beat them at their own game and you become more successful as the owner of the Clippers. That's how
come
you
on, Jay-Z, step it up, son.
You can Jay-Z, step your game up, man. You got all these billions, you and Beyonce, shit. Fucking
on
go half on a team, shit. Yeah, for real, both coasts, shit. PH balance, that's how you do that shit. So, it's on to
I saw a funny ass article. Supposedly, and I don't know where the fuck this motherfucker even becomes relevant. Remember Corrupt from Ducktown?
Yes. He was coming out of your house.
Yeah, you saw that? I'm like, what the hell? I wonder if she's kissing these coons in the mouth. I'm really upset because, I mean, shit. Was him and Daz, you know what I'm saying, double teaming the bitch? You know, like, what was happening? Is he her weak connect? Like, I don't know. I was curious as fuck, but I wonder where that shit was coming from.
Yeah. And this is definitely not the last we've heard of this story. Like, more shit is gonna come out as time passes. So, I don't know. We'll see.
I'm wondering too, though, because obviously, come on now, like, this isn't the first time that the NFL has had their own little, their backlash of announcers and talkers, you know what I'm saying, calling other people there, and we're like, why is this just such a big deal? Like, I'm wondering if they already have someone lined up for it, someone to buy it, or is it because the Clippers are finally good now? I mean,
and it's actually funny, because going into conspiracy theories, because shouts out to the homie Trav Lord, who was on the last episode. We talk about different things like this all the time. Whenever you get some type of media racism thing going on, it's normally the beach ball the media is throwing up because something else is going on. And this brings up the whole thing with that Cliven Bundy guy. Did you guys hear about that story? I think his name is Cliven Bundy, the farmer. Yeah, the ranch guy who had said the stuff about black people were better off when they were slaves. And shouts out to Hater Rotzi. He had a real good, the Hater Rotzi podcast, if you guys haven't checked it out, check it out. He had a real good take on it, because he was saying how the dude had owed a bunch of back taxes and the federal government was trying to come take his property and all that. And then so he basically got a whole bunch of militia people and they ran the feds off of his property. And then during the victory speech, he started talking about Negroes and he went into the whole thing about black people were better off as slaves, and the media has taken that part of it and run with it. But it's funny because, okay, they're running with the racist thing that he said because the government doesn't want people to know that somebody ran the feds off of their property. So let's not focus on that, because more people will get the idea of let's run the, we can fight back and we can beat the government. Let's not talk about that. Let's throw this beach ball of racism up. You're going to have a vocal majority of black people who get upset, oh, more racism in America. You're going to get a bunch of Republicans and all that. Oh, why do black people get mad when we say nigga, when y'all say nigga in rap songs? And it's that beach ball to distract you from what is really going on in the world, that this dude beat the fucking federal government at their own game. So something else is probably going on with the Clippers or with something else that they don't want us to focus on that. So let's focus on this bullshit racism that's going on. So let's distract the public. So
sleight of hand, how you message so well.
Yeah, message. Well, smoke and mirrors, the whole thing is damn smoke and mirrors. It's been going on for longer than we even realized too.
Yes.
It said the secrets of like the universe and life are well, at least for what they perceived thousands of years ago, have been known, and they keep us from that. They keep us from that.
Yes.
They keep us from real histories and stuff, because as long as we're a dumbed down, kind of like sheepish society, I mean, there's only a few that can kind of like escape that and like get up into those higher percentages, but like this has been going on for forever, all the like cover up stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, it really all kind of revolves around like the sun, and like it all kind of started through the knowledge of like what we knew about, you know, our planetary movement and like our solar system and stuff.
And we've brought this up. I think we talked about it on the last episode, but I won't even fully go into it, but I'll just tell people, if you want to get a good idea about a lot of the origins of various religions and all that and where this comes from, look up Jordan Maxwell in his speech on astrotheology, and he breaks it down where a lot of it is speaking allegorically about the precession of the equinoxes and various things and the sun movement and a whole bunch of different things. And it goes back to the whole thing too with the story, and not even to take away, I'm a person, I believe, and we, this comes up on the show often, but I believe in God, but I'm anti-religion. And no, shouts out to Papa, I like fucking with him because he's a Bible thumper. I got nothing but love for you, brother. But it's like one of the interesting things is the story of Jesus and how they changed his birthday over to December 25th. And one thing that is very interesting, if you watch the stars,
you gotta follow these pagan tides, you know what I'm saying?
It was them, they kind of rewrote the story, because a lot of it is retelling of Egyptian history and the story of Isis and the story of Horus and all that. And one thing that is very interesting is when you watch the stars, every day the sun rises at a different, it's like 1 degree off.
Yeah.
And so, when the sun, and that's where we get spring and fall, because during the fall the sun is rising lower and lower in the sky, and it's at 1 degree every single day if you were to actually chart it. The one thing that is interesting is on December 25th, it rises at its lowest point of the horizon throughout the entire year. And so on the 22nd, and that's what it is. The 22nd, it's at a certain point, and then the 23rd, it comes up at the very same point, and then the 24th, it comes up at the same point. So to a lot of ancient people, it was as if the sun was dying. So the sun was dying, and for 3 days, it laid in its burial, if you will, and then on the 25th is when it starts rising back up in the sky. And that's where they took the whole Jesus birthday is December 25th. They're talking about the sun, it dies on the cross, if you will, for 3 days, because it's not rising anymore. On the 25th, it's reborn because it starts moving back up into the sky. So I just say, people, research Jordan Maxwell, astrotheology. It's a lot of good information in there. Once again, I think, and I brought this up before, but my issue, I hate when I see certain people who take science and they're like, okay, religion is complete bullshit, so I don't believe in God, I'm an atheist now. And I'm like, well, you're kind of knee-jerking. You're going from one extreme to another extreme. I'm someone who, I don't believe in religion, but I personally believe in God, because I do believe that there's some beginning to all of this. I believe that there's some type of creator, be it simulation theory, and it's a fucking robot that created this shit, or whatever you want to take it. I just think it's a knee-jerk reaction to go from either you have to believe in religion or you have to believe in science, and you can't believe in both. So,
yeah, no, absolutely, man. I mean, they're not one and the same. I mean, I believe in an energy. I believe in a life force. I believe that we're all connected somehow through this life force, and that's what the DMT and the pineal gland is. The DMT that gets released in your brain, it gets released at these certain times, like when you're sleeping or like before death.
Yes.
And, And it just, like, I feel like that's the type of thing that, like, really, like, connects you. Because everyone who's tripped on DMT said that they felt like they knew that they were just part of something bigger. That's been the common theme between everybody who's done DMT. That's what they felt. They felt like they were given this answer as to, like, hey, you're part of something just bigger here. And, like, we're all connected, like the Matrix. Exactly. And, like, I really do believe that. And, like, I really think there is some sort of life force, but I'm, like, agnostic, basically, where, like, I can't say one way or another, and I'd love to see something that kind of shows it one way or another, if you could somehow put some sort of scientific theory behind it. But regardless, I'm not going to, like, diss anybody else for what they believe. I just think that it's easier to control people. I think that's why it's been going on for so long, is because it's easier to control people. But you have that rules. Because if everybody was just, like, mellow and thought that, like, there was nothing, or, like, maybe it just goes blank afterwards, people would be doing much crazier shit, I think. I feel like we'd be a much more, like, heathenistic society all across the world if there wasn't some structure based on religion and these things where it's just like, don't steal, don't kill, don't fuck the dude's bitch. You know what I mean? But
if I didn't have to worry about basis, being in hell, I'd be going ham on shit. Let me tell you.
And that's the thing, like, I've been studying Christian history for the past, like, 3-4 years. I bring it up all the time. I don't subscribe to one particular religion, but if I were to say that I'm close to any type of religion, it would actually be Gnostic Christianity, and I talk about it a lot on the show. And the Gnostic Christianity was one of the original forms of Christianity that popped up after about 40 years after the death of Christ, if you will. And you guys should check out a book by Ellen Pagels called The Gnostic Gospels, and she breaks down a lot about the rise of the two, the Gnostic Christianity and what became Orthodox Christianity, and she broke down the political sides of it, why Gnostic Christianity had to be silenced and we had to use the Orthodox form because the Roman government used it, because the Orthodox form is, okay, listen to your preacher, listen to the Pope, listen to the bishop, do whatever the government tells you, you know, provide with society, so on and so forth. And so it was a good way to control people, and that's also where blind faith came from, because you got to think of back in that day, back then, the great majority of people couldn't read. Only the rich and the elite could read. So then it was like, okay, I have this Bible, and this Bible has the word of God, and it's like, oh, well, can you teach me how to read so I can read it? It's like, no, have blind faith in me that I'm reading it to you properly, and that's where blind faith came from. Now, on the other side of that, you had Gnostic Christianity, which was similar to what Jesus was about, and it was like, don't listen to the government, don't follow anybody else on earth. You can't find God in church. You can only find God within yourself. And gnosis is know thyself. Once you get to know yourself, you become one with God because you know who you are and what's going on inside of you. And they were all about get away from materialism, separate yourself from this world, don't buy anything, just be a hippie and live out in the world and live off of nature. And when you go back in that time, it was so dangerous because that was starting to blow up and people were turning their back on the government and all that. So what did Constantine bitch ass do? He was like, well, let's get rid of that form of Christianity and use this form of Christianity, which I can control people. And it's been going on for thousands of years.
Yes.
And so I do think there's a lot to it. And once again, it's not to take away from if there was a Jesus on earth. It's not to take away of if there was a God or anything. But I do think that the true message of Christ has been bastardized over the past 2,000 years. And a lot of people just are not aware of it.
Most and that's and I mentioned this before too, when they went on the whole Christian crusades and, you know, Rome was trying to, you know, silence the name of Jesus, like there was no you can't stop the church. So if you can't stop it, it's just about manipulating and controlling and whatever sort of aspect is gonna benefit you. Hello, and following the government, which I definitely understand. That's kinda why I'm like, you know, I'm the thumper that I am, but I'm also the ridiculous brouhaha gentleman that you know before.
Are you watching porn?
No.
What the hell?
What did you say there?
I heard something that sounded porn-ish. something.
Long as Popo keeps his pants on, we're good. What are you playing? What is that?
I forget what the hell it's called. How do I not remember what the hell I'm fucking playing? Good lord.
See, I'm not...
It was a Neo Geo game. It's gonna hit
Neo Geo. I ain't heard that in ages, yo.
Yeah, when I get on retro kicks, I get on retro kicks. Not Stormtroopers. Metal Slug.
Okay, taking it back. See, and I'm not mad at you because I'm going to go ahead and move the camera over a little bit. If you look over in the background, I got, you can't even really see it. I got the WWE Network stream and the 24-hour stream. No, that shit don't turn off. I got fucking Legends of Wrestling going on in the background. So.
I don't know how the hell Skip puts up with it, to be honest with you. Like,
I watch it when she's gone. There's no wrestling going on while the kids and her are here, so it is.
Okay. Oh, well, then I can promise you that.
That's that marriage life, so.
That's one of the main reasons why I think not much of my relationships ever lasted too long. Just because I'm very selfish, and then even though when I give of myself, I give so fucking much I forget who the fuck I am. It's gonna get very tired of a motherfucker that's licking their asshole all goddamn day. I don't compromise, man. I still don't understand the word as far as it. I don't embrace it. I don't accept compromise.
Yeah. And I am
not cave.
No, that's some of the realest shit that I've heard in a minute, because what you just said is like so real about how there's that compromise and how like it's really just whoever cares the least controls the relationship. And so when you care more and you're putting all that energy and effort, you do forget who you are and shit, and like that's crazy, man, how shit can twist you up. I was with a chick for like a year and a half recently. Well, actually a little bit more than that, because we had to live together for a little bit after it kind of got like, you know, south or whatever.
So
I feel you on that, man. And you learn so much from that shit too, that compromise and all that.
Which is cool. You lived in a 50-50 sort of, my bad.
No, go ahead.
I'll just say real quick, I mean, that's, you don't get many people who are selfless like that. So when you see motherfuckers actually trying a relationship, like, kudos to them, because most don't. You'd be lucky, in a blessed world, it's 50-50.
Right, in a blessed world, right.
Yeah, and then even 60-40, you figure, oh, that shit would be nice, but even then, that's still, like, far from what the truth is, because it turns out to be that 80-20 thing, and that shit doesn't last long at all, because it gets boring, and motherfuckers hopefully come to the senses fucking sooner than later.
And that's why I'm very appreciative of, I got in a good situation with me and Skips. We've been together for, four going on 5 years. We're getting married 4th of July on our anniversary this year. And I was fortunate because I was one of those people. I was in a relationship with another chick back in the day where we lived together for about 5-6 years. And it was one of those fucked up relationships where both of us lost who we were in a relationship, because it was that tug of war, that 80-20, where I'm in control now. Now you're in control. It's just going through the motions back and forth. And both of us, you know, you lose yourself in that. And I was lucky because me and Skip, We got in a relationship, and then she got pregnant early in the relationship. That's how we had Kai, and we was like, you know, we're not doing this baby mama, baby daddy shit. We're gonna make this shit work. And it wasn't fucking easy and all that, and you gotta learn to leave egos at the door. We both compromised in a good way of the balance of not losing one another, losing who you are and all that, and we're fortunate that the shit fucking worked. And so
it just what it takes, you know what I mean? I feel like the men would be, I feel like, and I hate to categorize like men and women, but I feel like the men would be more willing to be cool if some of these ladies, because the women culture is changing, dude. Women are taking sort of the power seat, I guess, if you will.
Yeah.
And like, if they would just kind of like compromise, I hate to say it like that, so bad, so harshly, but if the women would kind of like calm down a little bit these days. Men, we're mellow creatures. We'll fucking, unless we're some wild like drug head, void head, or some weird fucking creepo, we're gonna mellow out. Just fucking be easy on us, and like let us fucking, you know, come to that compromise. I don't want to play any fucking games with your bitch ass hoe. I'm not trying to play fucking games with you.
Yeah.
Fuck that, man. Just be real. Like, not enough people are real. We're all hiding behind. We're all like hiding behind phones and like social media and like hide your face and like all I have is a screen name. It's like, fuck your screen name. Come over to my house and suck my dick. I'm like, You know what I mean? Oh,
we're going to be the best of friends.
That is real talk. But that is exactly what it is. And I blame feminism. And I think that there is a necessary need for equality, if you will, within the world. But I think some elements of feminism have taken it too far, where it's like, feminism means equality. It doesn't mean that I'm stronger than you. Like, I think a lot of people got that side of it fucked up in the game, but I'm not going to go on another feminist rant. We had one of these, I think it was episode 4.5, where we talked about some feminist bitches, but it is.
And then we'll go on YouTube rants.
Yeah, so,
feminism is so 90s, though. Like, I'm over it. Fuck you,
so. That's so 2 decades ago.
Yeah, I fucking
But I guess on to the next topic, motherfucking Eric Snowden, shouts out to the motherfucking American hero, in my opinion. But the United Kingdom came out and they said that the Snowden revelations were good for society. And I thank them for saying this, because apparently there was some type of post and they said that Eric Snowden, the former CIA contractor who famously leaked a trove of documents to newspapers detailing U.S. and even U.K. government surveillance activities, immediately called a war of vindication, even as the U.S. congressman called the decision a disgrace. The U.K. former defense secretary Liam Fox called Snowden a self-publicized and narcissist. And I guess the UK did a poll, and then British people by 46% to 22% said that they felt that it was good for society. And I agree wholeheartedly. Like, it fucking drove me nuts when I heard certain people in America who were calling Snowden a terrorist and a traitor. Like, okay, that doesn't make sense. So the government is spying on you, and someone told you that they're spying on you, but he's the traitor, not the people who are doing the shit, but the person who told you. Like, that doesn't make sense. That's like your girlfriend is sucking some other dude's dick and you ain't mad at your girl, you're mad at that dude. No, get mad at that bitch for sucking the other dude's dick. Like, that doesn't make sense to me, but that's that brainwashing mentality that we are unfortunately a part of in America. Like, no, the government can't do anything wrong.
That's fucked, man, the Snowden thing.
I feel like they
are going to cater to us now, though, by saying that. I feel like the Queen and them, they know what's up. They're the originals. They're the originals over there. They're the ones that fucking swooped down, like, through Spain and ended up coming over here. Like, I mean, look, the bottom line is like, I think that with the weed stuff that they're trying to legalize, well, not trying, and I think it's a good thing, trust me, I really do think it's a good thing with legalized weed, but they're coming in the back door now to, like, they're catering to, like, what we, if I was gonna really be on some V for Vendetta shit right now, they're just by saying, like, oh, like, it's good for society, like, that's just them being, like, like, very, like, patting you on the back and being like, you know, like, bless your heart, like, yeah, it's good for society, like, you know, I don't know. I feel like it's on some backdoor shit, and weed thing against us somehow, because there was already articles in Colorado, like, people died from weed now, and it's like, fuck no, they didn't.
The way that they're gonna get us with the whole weed thing is the fact that we're gonna be easier to control. In honesty, because what weed does, and I'll admit, and I love my weed. I love it a lot. I love that whole memory chain. Is the fact that it gives me the fuck it. So, do you want to work out?
The one thing I will say, though, with that, I think that they've already had something in place to control people with the Prozac Nation and the Xanax Nation and the Paxil Nation. And I think, because that's my whole thing, like I said, with Paxil, and I'm trying to get off this shit now, because they were like, you know, I went to the doctor, you know, I got some issues going on, and we're like, oh, let me have you try this. I didn't know it was going to be something that I can't just stop taking it. Like, no, I have to go back to the doctor, and we got to figure out a way to wing me off of the shit. Like, it was fucking heroin. And so they already have things in place to fucking control people. And so I do agree, though, that it is, it's that sleight of hand, it's that whole playing the game. Shouts out to George Orwell, who wrote the 1984 book back in the fucking 40s or 50s, and he had a real good point in one of his talks. He said that when the government starts taking away your liberal freedoms from you, what they're going to do in turn is give you sexual freedoms. And we've seen that with the push in of the of, oh, you know, let's promote gay marriage and this and this and that. They're giving us sexual freedoms while they're taking away other freedoms, because as long as we can fuck and do whatever we want to and smoke weed and all that, we'll ignore all the other shit that they're taking away from us. And so it is, once again, the government is fucking playing us. They have been in power since the beginning of time. They know how to play us. Like, unplug from the fucking matrix and wake up that the government gives no fucks about you. And like, people who get upset, like, oh no, the government would never do anything like that. Study history. Name one fucking government who really gave a fuck about their people. The government doesn't give a fuck about the people. They give a fuck about their own interests. Like, there is no history of a utopic society or the government doing everything that they can to protect the people. Like, they're crooks. They're simply crooks, and they've learned how to fucking trick you into believing any piece of bullshit that they tell you. And that's the reason why I stay away from fucking news and Fox News and MSNBC and all that. And I get my news from Young Turks and people outside of America. Like, I want the truth. I don't want your version of the truth. I want to know what's happening. You know, Obama is a Democrat and, you know, first black president, yay, but at the same time, he's doing the same shit Bush was doing. Like, there's no changes. Like, it's just,
I see no changes. All I see is faces, faces. Real fast though, I'm so sorry. I have a friend coming over at 5 o'clock.
So you good? Yeah, you good.
I gotta wrap it on my end. On my end.
All right, so yeah, we'll go ahead and do this, and we want to thank motherfucking Ramen from Worst Case Scenario, from the motherfucking Weed Show, from coming on.
I wanted to see what he brought on board for his what do we call it?
The dedication.
The dedication. Did you pick a dedication?
Actually, we didn't even get to chop it up about that, about having to pick a dedication. So what we'll do is, the next time we have them on, we'll start a little earlier in the day, and we'll definitely get them to come back on and chop it up.
What's the dedications?
Now, okay, yeah, actually, we could hop around in the show. We can do dedications real quick before he has to get out. Now, every episode, we dedicate to some lovely lady, be it a Tumblr crush, be it somebody you're talking to, be it a celebrity, whoever you like, you dedicate the episode to that person. And so, if you need a few moments to think real quick, I can have Popo give his dedication, I'll give my dedications, and then we'll have you pick a dedication.
I normally use Woman Crush Wednesday, you know, old hole that I have there on the Instagram, and it usually helps with the,
No, I guess I dedicate this show to my sister. She's in town. She's hanging out with us. She'll be here like a week. Her name's Maya. She's visiting from New Orleans, and I'm the youngest of five. But I have two half brothers and a half sister, and then a full sister, and that's the one who's in town. We don't really look at it like that, but just like, you know, I'm close with my sister, so.
That's what's up.
Yeah, it's good times though. But I appreciate you guys having me on. Like, I'd love to come back and talk. I love that you guys are like on top of it with all this stuff, like the real stuff.
Oh, we keeps it real, man.
We try to dig in there. I was gonna say too, and as a question, as far as, you know, from, you know, most Saturdays, you'd figure you'd want to have a show a little bit earlier, right? Because you figure the time that we start is kind of like when you're in between shit that you got to do throughout the
rest of the
time. It's whatever's clever. I mean, I just told someone that we'd be hanging out, so it's in like, I wanted to get ready real fast before they get,
wash your ass. You know what I'm saying?
So we definitely will have you back on, man. And cool. Once again, we're going to promote your shit on our page. Y'all can check them out, youtube.com/user/56thStreetRecords. And also, if you guys can't motherfucking remember that, head over to the IBHM podcast website. We'll have links there. So, mostly, my dude, we love having you on here.
Thank you.
Okay, would I be able to get your info off of Verse, and then we can, I'll chill one of these days?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because I got your number now. Yeah, I'll plug you in. I'll pass it over to Popo, too. And so link up, man. Do the damn thing.
Oh, 100%. And I want to play some of my music, too, so.
Yeah, and I got that link that you saw in the chat, so I'm going to put that link on the website, too.
That's just my SoundCloud. Yeah, that's just my SoundCloud. I got a couple music videos, too, if you want to throw those up.
I want to talk shit face-to-face, son.
Yeah, sure. So we'll definitely do that. We'll all link up eventually. Cool. So, most definitely. All
right, guys. I really appreciate you having me on.
All right, stay up, man. Take care now.
Take care.
Thanks so much. Peace out. Listeners, peace out. Soy Sauce Boss out.
Out.
Ow! All right, now. That was some good shit, man. Shouts out to motherfucking Ramen Charles. Big homie, we actually worked together, and that's how we was chopping it up one day, because we found out that we have a bunch of mutual friends. We run in similar circles back in my day when I was performing all the damn time. He's friends with a bunch of those people, and then so we worked together, and we was like, oh shit, and we was chopping it up, and he was asking if I still do music. I was like, not as much really as I used to, and then it turned into us kind of just chopping up, and he found out I had a podcast. I found out that he was doing a radio show, and then we was like, yo, I was like, I gotta have you on sometime. So that was good shit.
I ain't gonna lie, I had to hate a little bit on the motherfucker when I found out that he's on that show that I was telling you I was wanting to get on.
Yeah.
And I would have hoped, because honestly, like I said, people that I talked to, they never fucking heard of it. And honestly, the music that they kind of have during the day, it's kind of offbeat. Like, it's very particular. I mean, I have that odd kind of taste, only because, you know, because I swim in so many different sort of pools, but like,
yeah.
I'm saying, most just don't really fuck with it. So I was hoping it'd be a sort of thing to where they'd want to get all the sort of talent they could to hopefully garner some fucking audience attention to the goddamn site and their assholes.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to say charge. I'm going to have to pick a soy sauce boss's fucking brains and be like, nigga, yeah. Can you get me a
yeah, I'm going to shoot you, I'll shoot you his number, after the show or whatnot. So yeah, we all going to link up and do that shit. Oh, and I got to talk shit real quick. Cause we used to start the show at 11.
Right.
And I will say that cause the show kept starting late because you would always show up late. And that's when we pushed the show back till 2. But no, yeah, I have no problem. We can start pushing it back earlier in the day. I don't know.
Well, and honestly, too, and mind you, if we're all going to be in one set location, then yeah, then it's one thing because I got to travel on and fucking be on my way. But if I'm nice and settled, it's kind of, it makes it more of a bitch to have to fucking get up and leave. But if I'm going to be, doing shit from this, and I'm still third world, a first world problem living with my internet. So, but once I get that bitch in my crib, then I don't ever have to leave my cave, and I can be on my way. That's what I'm trying to do.
Nah, but we definitely do that shit. So, sure, I guess a couple more articles before we get out of here.
The next thing fucked me up, because in the whole world of conspiracy and government controlling us, is this not another motherfucking step?
Yes, fucking for people who have been or not been following up with it. Google is taking over the world. They're slowly branching out iRobot style. They've been buying fucking robots. They bought like 20 sets of the top robotic companies in the world. They got the Google glasses going on. They got fucking they're trying to put drones in the sky to cover 2/3 of the world with Wi-Fi, free Wi-Fi and all this shit. And the latest invention is Google is seeking to integrate cameras into contact lenses. Apparently they announced that they're developing a smart contact lens that could continually monitor blood glucose levels of type 2 diabetes, and it has been announced that Google is working to create a contact lens with an integrated camera that would help people with visual disabilities. I do have to call conspiracy. I think it's wonderful. I think it's fantastic. I think that technology is an amazing thing, and the more we evolve and emerge technology with our biological bodies, I think it will be just a fantastic, wonderful thing. Even the fact of them being able to take people who can't walk and giving them ability to walk and all that with robotic arms and legs and shit, and it's fantastic. On the other side of it, this is another way to fucking control people, because we all know Google is down with the NSA and watching everything that we fucking do. So now they're going to put contact lenses in you where they could see everything that you're doing. It's just, I don't know. Like, it's a good thing and it's a bad thing. It just depends on who controls the technology.
I mean, and just how I think, even with that little bit of sinning that we do, and this is the Bible Thumper me talking, but like, I feel like everything that we have, you know, it's meant for good intention, you know, and in small doses, because too much of anything is a bad thing. Yes. Too much good is a bad thing, because then motherfuckers become extremists. And I feel like it's one of those things to where, I mean, yeah, I mean, definitely the fucking if you can't give sight to the blind, then being able to give them guidance and assistance all the fucking better. If someone who fucking had their leg chopped off, then by all means, something bionic is a great asset. But one of those things can be used, you know what I'm saying, for bad, that's the real fucked up thing. And I'm pretty fucking sure they're gonna have face recognition. Our Facebook's gonna be connected to it, so we know where that motherfucker's actually, even if he has a private setting on his goddamn thing. You were last seen on what's this motherfuckers' crosshairs and see it at this location, if that's gonna say, I think it's gonna just be unsafe. I mean, exactly. It's gonna be great because we can keep track of some things that we need to keep track of, but motherfuckers that just, I mean, try to stay off the radar. I mean, you saw me get off of Facebook, like, I'll be goddamned if, you know, I'm then seen somewhere else and, it, you know, they connect me just because of the facial recognition.
Exactly. And that's the thing with fucking Google. I normally keep Google location off of the phone. I got an Android and all that. But I recently was doing something, so they got the Google Now thing, and so I went ahead and turned the GPS thing on, and I had it on for like a week or so and wasn't really paying attention to it. And one day it told me, like, I got ready to leave, and it told me how long it was going to take me to get to work. And I'm like, oh, well, this can't be right because, you know, I don't go directly to work. When I get up, I get the boys ready, and then I take them to my mom's house. I go from my mom's house to work. And then I looked at the map, and it had been, the Google GPS thing had been following me for a week, and it notated the pattern that I was taking to leave to get to my mom's house, then to get to work. And I was like, holy shit, so it's not even from this address to this address. No, this is the route that we've noticed over the course of the week that you take, and this is how long it's going to take you to do that route. And while it's fantastic, and I can know if I'm running to work late or not, it's like, wait, you're recognizing patterns now? And this is just in a smartphone. They have supercomputers out there. What the fuck are the, what kind of
algorithms or whatever? They fucking drawn.
What kind of shit is in that? I don't know, man. I can't call it.
Scary.
I think at the end of the day, it's I hate to admit it. I hate to be a pessimist because I'm very optimistic and things, but I will say they've already won. So might as well enjoy the technology while you can because they've already fucking won.
That I honestly feel like that. And for some reason, I forget what Biggie song it was. I don't want to live no more. I can hit the death knocking at my front door. Like, on the real, like, shit. Like, you can't do nothing. It's going to be known. Yeah. It's already bad enough on the real. Like, I made it a thing, too. And I forgot who it was. I ain't going to mention her name. And I was like, I don't want to text. I'm like, call me. If you want to talk to me, call me. You know, let's talk that way. And this bitch just ends up texting a whole lot more. Why? What's this about? And I'm like, call me? Can you call me? I fucking, and the bitch kept texting more. All the more pages. I'm like, I'm telling you, I don't want to text. Make a call. Ignored. All the more texts. I'm like, I'm done. What the fuck is this? People can't talk anymore. And even then, it's like, damn.
And that's the beauty of podcasting, is the ability to be able to converse and have conversations across the interwebs to people across the motherfucking globe and have real conversations. And I think that's the reason why, and I know it's going to take a little while, but I think that's the reason why I think terrestrial radio is dying. I think talk shows like Jay Leno and shit like that is dying, and I think podcasting is the future, because I would honestly say that people who listen to this podcast probably know me better than my immediate family, because meet up with family, it's just these, you know, family conversations. We'll talk about this. But you really get to know somebody when you hear them talk on a podcast for 2 to 3 hours at a time for fucking weeks on end. Like, you get to know those people. And so I think that this is where we're going as a society. So you could take a Donald Sterling, or you could take a Paula Deen, or any of these other people, and like, fuck these sound bites of having them on some news channel and talk for 5-10 minutes where they can memorize some talking points. No, put them on the podcast for 3 hours and the truth will come out.
Yeah, let me antagonize them a little bit. Say some fucking sweet nothing. Say some shit that really butters up their asshole and makes them fucking really think. And we'll see if that shit ain't the truth. I mean, please believe, I can be fake as shit right now with this little persona, this comedic persona, but yeah. I mean.
But once you talk for 3 hours at a time, every week, eventually the bullshit is going to come out. Eventually the truth will fucking surface, so. That's why
fucking pattern that shit, Google.
Oh.
But so we know this, that once you get to stutter talking about religion, you get really choked up. It must mean something to you. Thick.
Good shit. But couple more things before we get out of here. I thought this was fucking insanely dope. It happened April 21st. The government put together the coolest destination for exchange students. And apparently the U.S. government, State of Bureau for Educational and Cultural Affairs, is launching a new type of exchange with a virtual field trip to Mars. Their new initiative in partnership with NASA's Digital Learning Network is through Google's, a Google Connected Classroom program, where basically they're taking middle school students from classes in Argentina, Nicaragua, and even some in New Jersey, Texas, and Washington, D.C. And they're taking these kids and they're going to the U.S. Science and Engineering Festival in celebration of National Science Week, and in an effort to attract youth around the world to science, technology, engineering, and mathematics education, they're planning on get to what the fuck they're doing. Okay, here it goes down here. This is a run-on sentence.
I was like, I'm going to paraphrase, but they don't need their shit.
Like, shit. Okay, I think this is where it's at. The students will connect via Google Hangouts to explore the red planet and hear from Mars subject matter experts. NASA will use current photos from Mars Curiosity and its Mars Yard to simulate the field trip. And it also says that the event will be publicly broadcast. We'll probably have a link on the website where people can check this out. But I think this is fucking dope to be able to take a field trip to Mars and see all that shit, because that's fucking dope. And this is how you make science entertaining. Like, I could give a fuck about fucking pH balance and, you know, the periodic tables and all that. Let me see Mars. That'll get me excited about fucking science. And, you know, fucking shouts out to Neil deGrasse Tyson with the Cosmos Show, because he's real good about making science fucking fun and entertaining. I think we need more of that to make kids fucking fascinated about shit like this. So kudos to them.
Fucking the Mars rover, man. That's what I want, a fucking mechanic.
I'm on that bitch. I know. All they gotta do is fucking shouts out to Oculus Rift. Take Oculus Rift and take a fucking video game steering wheel thing and let me hop on a fucking thing and let me think that I'm driving on Mars. That would be the coolest fucking video game on Earth. So
shouts out to Arizona. Wasn't it ASU that had the Mars thing? Didn't we make that shit or no?
I think we either made it or we had the majority of the part of it. Something like that. And so, yeah, that was fucking ill. So,
Arizona love.
So, last article before we got out of here. We always, of course, got to talk to motherfucking conspiracy. And I thought this was fucking dope. People are wondering if Apple Maps has found the Loch Ness Monster. A mysterious shadowy form spotted using Apple's satellite map app has Nessie believers convinced that the sea monster has been found. It says, since its inception in the 6th century, the legend of the Loch Ness Monster has endured unreliable sightings, doctored photos, and fake footprints, but a mysterious satellite image has given fresh hope to believers of the elusive Scottish sea creature. The image, taken by an Apple Map satellite, depicts a shadowy form of around 100 feet in length when something akin to flippers in the water of the Loch Ness. It says, we've been looking at it for a long time, trying to work out exactly what it is. Gary Campbell, the president of the official Loch Ness Monster fan club. That's a damn shame. They got a fucking fan club for the Loch Ness Monster. Fucking nerds. And it says it looks like a... What's up? What'd you say?
I'm like, WWE Network.
Ah! I'm mad. I'm a motherfucking blurred. I'm not mad. And apparently they've been studying the image for 6 months, and apparently they have no other obvious explanation. But it does look like some fucking kind of creature or something fucking swimming in the water. And so I wanted to pass it to Popo. Do you believe that this is the Loch Ness Monster? What's your take on it?
Well, I was reading part of the article. It was saying something about they could possibly be some part of a ship that's floating, which seems more logical than anything else. Because I'm just wondering, I'm like, this thing's been around since, what, the early 30s, late 20s, 1929, 1930s?
No, this started in the 6th century. This started, like, fucking, this has been going on for over 1,000 years. They've been trying to find the Loch Ness Monster.
Now, part of me wonders, I'm like, we figure, if there is this thing that, you know, it'd have a family, you figured hopefully, you know, it'd be alive somewhere, you know, procreating, and, you know, these things have, you know, been living on in the world, you know, along with us. We figure, like, fuck, man, you figure we would have seen something. Then again, you figure maybe that's what all these sightings are. We just don't want to believe it because, yeah, you know, for whatever fucking reason, they don't want to believe it. But, I mean, I don't know. I feel like this world was created with a lot of wonders, man. A lot of different sorts of beasts, and you know what I'm saying, dinosaurs. And I just feel like we killed it off because it wasn't safe. You know, we had a you know, kind of like how we get a little we had to baby poop everything.
Yeah, yeah. Oh no, go ahead.
Oh no, just saying. I mean, so it could be possible. I've seen Google Maps capture some really stunning shit. I use this app called Chive or Chive. I'm not sure if you've seen that. They're notorious for some reason they have a big Bill Murray following. They made Bill Murray relevant, and they're the ones who have that Keep Calm and the Keep Calm thing. Their attribute was Keep Calm and Chive on. Anyways, they had a segment of top Google map pics that have badass bitches in them. And sure as shit, like, you know what I'm saying? We'll have Google Maps will capture shit with, you know, women showing their ass or sunbathing and all this random stuff. We figured, I wonder if the technicians that were running this shit, if they had an eye for that or why they kept that image still in there. But I mean, they capture a lot of stuff, man. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know what to think of it because honestly, like, I don't say subscribe to the whole theory of the Loch Ness Monster, but I mean, it's just as good as anything else and one of those mythical things that just, like, kind of like the, I mean, I wouldn't want to compare it to aliens, but I mean, I don't know. What do you say?
And my take on it is I'm not necessarily a Loch Ness Monster believer, but also in the same sense, I'm not, I believe it's more possible than a lot of people would believe. And one of the reasons why is because, and this is actually a good segue from the Mars thing, is that we've seen more of the surface of Mars than we've seen our own ocean's floor. So when you really break down, the ocean is more of a alien planet to us than Mars is, if you will. And one thing that science has proven is that the deeper you get into the water, the bigger the creatures get and the more weird that the creatures get. And one thing that is very interesting about that Loch Ness Lake is that a lot of people don't know, we've never seen the floor of that lake. Like, we don't know what's at the bottom of that thing. So for all we know is it could be a family of these motherfuckers that are living way down there, and maybe these are like the babies who are coming up, you know, when you get a baby that's not paying attention and wanders out of the front yard and all that. Maybe that's what this is. And so I think that it's more logical than a lot of people take for. I don't just hop on a bandwagon, oh, this is the Loch Ness Monster without a shadow of a doubt. But I think it's a whole lot more realistic than a lot of people take, and that's the reason why me, being a brother that don't know how to swim, I don't fuck with cruise ships. And I don't fuck with the ocean because we don't know what the fuck is in there.
And it's funny that I take this line from a fucking movie. Have you seen, I guess it doesn't matter about it, but 51st Dates, Adam Sandler goes on this little rant about how, you know, how he wanted to go on the trip because, you know, so much of their life that's been documented is only so much percentage of whatever, but they spend most of life underwater, which, mind you, there's so much hidden shit. So when you say that we've never seen the floor of that thing, I truly believe, I mean, honestly, I don't believe in fucking Aquaman or something, but I believe that there's something down there that if you want to mix in Loch Ness with, let's say, mermaids, I wouldn't put it past it because honestly, we don't know what the fuck goes down there. And honestly, I mean, that probably might be the most purest and most shit that there ever could be existing, if it still exists, if that ever existed. We're probably done it because it's untampered with what's up here. I mean, our brains would fucking surely fucking pressurize and combust if we were trying to even reach the depths that I'm pretty sure is down there. So.
But if that thing has evolved in the water for thousands of years, that thing could possibly live under great dynamic pressure under the water down there. You don't know. So I think we as a society... What's up?
I wonder how strong this shit would be.
Yeah.
I mean, you figure if it has to live in such crazy ass terrain, and who knows, man? Fuck, maybe with the pushing of this new Godzilla movie, this motherfucker might resurface just in time.
Yo, actually, I would not be fucking surprised. And you just said that, and you kind of fucked this whole story up for me, because this might be a fucking ploy by Sony Pictures or something, where they put this out so people could kind of wonder what the fuck that is, and it turned out to be the trailer for the new fucking Godzilla. So that might be what the fuck we're dealing with right now. I don't
know. Have you seen that new trailer, though?
I ain't seen the new one. I saw one of them with them fucking parachuting down and Godzilla's fucking shit up. I will check it out because America hasn't done the Godzilla series good at all. So I do want to check this one out.
And I don't want to blame what the fuck's his name is something to do from man, I can't even think of the movie that he was in from the 80s. The School's Out for Ferris Bueller. What's his name?
Matthew Broderick.
Yes, yeah. I'm thinking maybe. Either which way, the 1999 Godzilla, even though I was so obsessed with that movie, bro, it's ridiculous. And I look back and I'm like, oh my god, Godzilla was just a big old pussy. And here we are fucking, I think it was the most, we forgot how badass Godzilla is. And
I'm not
a big Godzilla fan. Whatever. It's a classic though. It's one of those just things that, you know, grew up with. But he's coming back. He's coming back badass. And if you look at the trailer, two people that I love dearly. I don't say I love dearly. That sounds kind of weird, kind of gay. One, the dork from fucking Kick Ass, he's in it, and the motherfucker he's grown up a lot. And then fucking forget the what's his face, the dude from Malcolm in the Middle and Breaking Bad. What's his face, the old guy?
Paul. I forgot his name. I know who you're talking about.
Something. I think Paul's the name of the scrawny kid, but I'm talking about the dude from
The dad. Yeah.
Yeah. Breaking Bad, Walter White, fucking whatever.
Walter White.
Yeah, so I don't know. Not only do they have a good cast, but Godzilla's badass again, and this could be something of a marketing tool. I don't know. I'm waiting to see some fucking Ninja Turtle stuff again. Make that fucking Michael Bay shit fucking pop.
For real.
Get real angry. Hurry up, August.
I'm angry. Oh, it's coming. It's coming. So, shit, I guess on that note, it's that time of the show.
Wait.
Before we get real swell,
I just wanted to ask you, actually, on a personal dorky level, because I'm at least going to watch it. Even though I hate Michael Bay, I hate what he does to movies, and I hate that he made this into a transformer movie with fucking the word Ninja Turtles on it, but I'm going to see the movie, no matter how much I hate it, at least six times. Would you take my invitation to watch it one out of six times with me?
Hell fucking yeah, because I didn't even know that there was a new fucking Ninja Turtles coming out. I'm just looking it up right now.
Fuck you. You're lying.
I didn't even know.
How have I not read? Well, maybe
I just found the official trailer where I'm about to play this bitch.
Okay. Matter of fact, if you can, before we give it to the ladies and give them the dedication that they deserve, let's get real dorky for a second. I want you to listen.
Nickelodeon movies.
Yeah, Nickelodeon owns the rights now too, which kind of tripped me out because that's how they're re-releasing, because they currently have the rights to, I guess, I don't know if they just buy it for a segment, if you just own it completely, but they re-released actually all the old late 1980 toys again. So for all their ugly glory, they're fucking available again. You know, which would be a collector's dream, but I mean, they're just reprinting them, which they weren't the prettiest toys to begin with. But yeah,
I'm fucking excited already because it's live action. It's not a fucking. Oh,
there was two trailers. One apparently just got re-released where it shows all the turtles, and the first trailer did not show it, so I'm not too sure which one you're looking at or when it was posted. I haven't seen the new one.
Oh, this one got the turtles on it.
They're ugly as hell, ain't they?
They show is ugly as fuck on here, though. But yo, this looks insane.
Oh man, because on the rule, I think I could go 3 hours talking about just that fucking 2-minute trailer that you're watching right now.
Oh, yo, yeah, we're going to put this up on the website too. This is that Megan Fox?
Yes. I got real. I see one. I don't know how much time this is going to take, but it left a lot of people unsettled to know that she's playing April O'Neil.
Yeah, that does kind of fuck me up too, because and the Stan in me, who I would have loved to have seen as April, which I think would have worked better off the top of my head, Jennifer Lawrence. I would have loved to have seen Jennifer Lawrence as April.
Oh god, that would be beaded material for all the generations to come. And honestly, to look back and be like, that was April O'Neil. I mean, Megan Fox is a quote unquote bad bitch, but she ain't got ass like fucking Jennifer Lawrence does. Nor does she have the naturally fucking colored hair. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because April O'Neil was a redhead? I mean, I guess that's.
Yeah, she was redhead. Yeah, I was trying to remember. Yeah.
But, I mean, figure Michael Bay, and I'm pretty sure he fucked Megan Fox 10 ways to sideways forcibly, so he has a contract agreement with her, or he hasn't put her in fucking movies.
I'm confused, because didn't they have a big falling out, and that's the reason why she left the Transformer series, because she called him like a Nazi or some shit like that?
Yeah, his directing techniques, like I said, he's a Nazi of directors, but I think that was a ploy, bro. I honestly feel like that was just a marketing technique to show, oh, there's a drift. Oh, but then again, they did switch her, huh? They put her with the blonde witty, didn't they? I don't remember.
Yeah, they switched her over to the blonde, yeah.
But I mean, you know what's so hilarious that she, I figured that her as an artist, she didn't want to, you figure she's going to be any actress is going to be an artist, you know, depending on the work they do. I know me, I see myself as an artiste of things, so I know the pictures that I work on, I'd want it to be monumental, and I want it to tell a story, and I want to carry a lineage and or a legacy in that. So I don't know if she just got tired of fucking having to screaming and fucking having to run somewhere, but I imagine that her part in this movie is going to be just that. She's going to be running, there's going to be some screaming, some oh no's. I mean,
it's actually funny because I can't take Megan Fox seriously anymore, because have you ever seen her thumbs?
I heard about either the big ass thumbs or it has a baby thumb. I forget one or the other.
Google Megan Fox.
No, I remember. I remember seeing it before. I want to see it again. I forget what it is though, but I think I purposely did that so I don't fucking remember that shit.
Yo, it's hilarious because when you type in Megan Fox, these are what pops up. So it has Megan Fox in Google, Megan Fox, then it says Megan Fox baby, then Megan Fox and Amanda Seyfried, whoever that is, Megan Fox and Ninja Turtles. And then the last one is Megan Fox thumb. Like, that's one of the biggest things is her thumb. She has, like, man thumbs. She has the ugliest fucking thumbs.
She does.
And I kept hearing about it, and I never paid attention to it, but then I finally looked it up, and, yo, her thumbs are fucking deformed. I don't know what the fuck is up with them, but...
Oh, shit. Amanda Seyfried, that's the bitch from Mean Girls and who did Lovelace, which I was so glad to see her fucking titties. And I think she also did it in Chloe. I didn't watch that movie, though.
Who
but
is,
I really love Amanda Seyfried.
Oh, that chick. What, are they dating? They fucking...
Apparently they
oh, kiss. What is this?
What's a kiss, though? Come on, a kissing shit.
If they're not fucking eating some carpet, I can give a fuck.
Yeah. He got me all excited. I jumped on to the Google to think I was going to see some real math. And it was...
So, shit, yeah. So I guess on that note, I think it's that time. Is it that time?
Oh, what time is it?
It's time for...
Dedication.
Throw that auto-tune on that bitch. And you want to go
throw
for that for me?
I don't know if
throw
you heard
that. Boy,
did you ever listen to B.O.B.'s album?
No,
something I didn't. Underground Luxury? They had this song.
Downloaded. I never listened to it, though, but go ahead.
It has some hits. It actually has some hits, which I'm surprised by. Well, actually, not surprised by. I'm actually a little bit disappointed of how good it was, because it was all kind of, I don't say trashy, but the singles are definitely built on the whole ratchetness, you know what I'm saying? Definitely good shit to get your dick sucked to or go to the strip club with.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyways, it has a song called Throw That Back. I mean, that's why I figured it's some good ass ratchet music for have a bitch for Throw That Back. Throw That Back.
See, and I was excited about B.O.B. having a new album, and then he dropped that fucking, what was it, Headbands with 2 Chainz?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, yeah, I'm over it. I'm cool. Yeah.
Which was a dope single, though. One of the better singles I've ever seen. But it's totally ignorant, though. Which, my thinking with 2 Chainz, I don't think that's going to be too insightful. You know what I mean?
And the thing that just kills me with B.O.B. is that I know what he's capable of doing.
He was supposed to be the next Andre 3000 is what I thought he was going to be.
That's the same thing. It goes back to, I said the same thing about Nicki Minaj when she spit that verse on Monster. It's like, what a waste of talent, because I could see what you could elevate to, but the label won't let you do that. They want to do this pop bullshit. So, yeah.
And now you mentioned Nicki Minaj, because I don't fancy her. I don't think she kind of reminds me of an ex, you know what I'm saying? So what? She has a big old fat ass. Like, fuck that bitch. Anyways. I remember when I first heard of her, like when Lil Wayne like signed her, it was a big deal because she was this bitch that was doing fucking battle raps, fucking freestyling in Brooklyn, going against motherfuckers who was, you know what I'm saying, who was lyrically, you know what I'm saying, challenging. Like, she was out there, like, making kind of how French Montana got famous doing the Coke Boy DVDs. Like, she was doing DVDs of her battle rap, and, like, she was known to be a lyricist. And then, obviously, you want a bubblegum factory. She just said, it's a fuck thing. But, FDB, and, let's go to our dedications, because something more worthwhile. Wrap this bitch up. You want me to go first? Are you doing one or two?
I got two.
Oh, seriously? Okay.
I got two.
Alright, now I've been crushing on both these hoes for a long while.
Or actually, let's do this. You do one, then I do one, then you do one, then I do one. Let's do that.
Okay. Alright, okay. Well then, I'm glad that you said two, because one or the other, I'm gonna start off with the baddest of them all, because she's very, don't know other stuff that she's been in. I guess I should be a better journalist and fucking research more of her shit, but honestly, I don't want to deter from the image that she's painted in my mind. She's a weirdita, naturally. I guess she has been in a few movies that I've seen, but when I first just caught her eyes, man, because she, I'll have you type up her name while I talk about how awesome her name. Her name is Dreama Walker. Have you heard of Dreama Walker?
I have not.
Type in the name. The word dream.
Oh!
And then put an A at the end of it. Dreama Walker.
Oh, she's a cutie.
Anyways, I didn't discover her. I guess she was in Gran Torino and shit like that, but I didn't discover her until the show called Don't Trust That Bitch in Apartment 23.
Oh, okay.
Oh my god, bro. She just plays one of the most nice, sweetest, like, all the, like, that good girl that you wish you can find, but she ends up being a hoe sort of thing. Like, she is that. Not the whole part, at least not from the, what the two seasons allowed for her to develop as a character, but.
Yeah.
She's just bad as they could come, and this is one of those, she plays that girl who's extremely hot, doesn't know that she is, sort of things, which you don't find that nowadays, because most people are so conceited, even the big, fat, ugly bitches, like, they're conceited like a motherfucker, so, like, some people, they just, I don't know, small town. That's why I love small people from small towns, because they have such a big heart and they're not fucking consumed by all the shit that the city brings. Anyways, she's that. She just plays the sweetest girl, and she later becomes the love interest of the cat that I said that reminded me of Kai. Kai would look like, you know, how he looks like when he had his afro, which I'll bring up to you a little bit later. But yeah, man. Okay. I wish I looked up more stuff of hers. I'm not too sure. I think the last movie she might have done was The Invention of Lying, but this is one faggot atheist guy that's on that movie that I didn't want to watch it because of that.
Yeah, and actually, and that's not to cut you off, but I saw that movie once, and I was so offended watching that movie, which is hilarious because I'm, like I said, I'm a person who I'm, you know, I'm one of those people who I respect other people's opinions, but I just thought The Invention of Lying was done wrong. Like, I get what they're trying to do, but they did it, I don't know. I thought it was not tasteful the way that they handle it. And I think just about everybody who's in that movie kind of fucked it up for me. The chick, what's the chick that was, Jessica Biel, fuck, what is the name of her name? Let me look her up real quick. Invention of Lion. What was her name? Because ever since that movie, I have not liked her. Jennifer Garner.
Fuck
Jennifer Garner up for me. I don't know. I just thought it was distasteful. Just the movie, I thought it was distasteful. Like, I get what they were trying to say about atheism and all that, but just to kind of play.
So it was a push towards atheism then?
Yeah, like the whole thing, like the concept was dope. Okay, you're in a world where nobody can lie, and so. Then this one guy learns the trick of lying, and all of a sudden, you know, he has all these powers or whatever because he knows how to lie, but everyone else doesn't know how to lie. And then what ends up happening was his mom's on her deathbed and she's, you know, afraid of dying. And so he learns to lie, and his lie is that when you die, you're going to go to this beautiful place. And like, it was a playoff of heaven, and it was like the whole thing of that, oh, you people who believe in heaven or afterlife, you're such children, because us atheists, we're so adult. And we're so much smarter than you. It was just like, it was very distasteful in my opinion. I didn't like the movie, and I think I had actually bought it because I was on my Blockbuster tip of buying the movies, the 4 for $20 or whatever, and that was one of the movies I bought. And I got an atheist homeboy, and I was like, here, I was like, you probably like this movie, so I just gave it to him. And I was like, I'm kind of
cool. I'll say, let me cop that. I, as much as I hate being offended, I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah. So I guess I'll take my first dedication and
look this hoe up.
Kind of in the same sense, this is one of my celebrity crushes, and actually I hit this chick up on Twitter when I first got on Twitter to just tell her how beautiful her smile was, and she hit me back with a thanks, fam. So I will forever love
like a rapper.
I will forever love her for this, and my first dedication is to my motherfucking hip hop boo, Amanda Diva. Amanda Diva was born Amanda Sells. She's a her occupation include a radio personality, a host. She's an artist, a DJ, a songwriter. She's been active since 1992. She's just like real deep in the game. She has a master's in African American studies from Columbia University. She's been a host or commentator on MTV, VH1, fucking CNN, BET. She's been just all over the place, and she's just real fucking dope. And she's just down to earth. She's gorgeous. She has the prettiest fucking smile. She has that curly hair that I love. And she's just real. Like, I love when I see somebody who, like, blow up in the game and they get somewhere, but they still just down to earth. She's one of those celebrities where I think if I were to run into her and approach her just like, hey, what's up? You know, I like what you do. She wouldn't be, even though her name is Amanda Diva, she wouldn't be on that diva shit. And so just shouts out to her. I think she's a phenomenal fucking chick, and she's wonderful. I want y'all to support her, so she is my first motherfucking dedication. And yeah, I think she's drop dead gorgeous. That's just my opinion.
I honestly couldn't tell her out of a lineup with other black bitches that let their hair grow out like that. But in honesty, I saw this one picture of her where she's rocking the, and I forget the name of it. She's like, Dykes, I love that shit. It's the Riviette, Joan the Riviette. It's like where it's like, it looks like a dyke bitch with a bandana. She's showing off the muscle thing.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I don't know the name of it, but yeah.
Something the Riviette. Fucking like I said, dykes go hard for that, huh? Anyway, she has a picture of that. It's called Diva of the Deaf, the one-woman musical narrative. And I guess the cover of it has her rocking that icon. She's dressed up with the bandana, showing the muscle. And so, yeah.
She's, I just absolutely love her. And if I was ever single again, come find me. Come find me, Amanda. I'm just saying, come find me. We make beautiful music together. That's all I'm saying. So so I'll pass it back to...
make it happen, Twitter.
I'll pass it back to Popo. Who is your second dedication?
My second dedication, kind of to go along with my first one in this case, because normally when I pick a dedication, I don't just pick some any ordinary hoe. Usually, because I adore them for their contributions to whatever sort of scene that they're in. And then I guess in this particular choosing of it, maybe might have been because I went on a Netflix binge on it and I finished the whole two seasons, which I got sad I was only two seasons fucking back last week. But I've been obsessed with this woman, and she's another movie that I like called For a Good Time Call. But these two girls, I think, is honestly how I'm split in between sometimes, because I think I don't have a proper way of coding things, yeah. And like I'll treat a hoe like a princess. I'll give her the world, and because she's a hoe, she'll fucking just drop it and treat it like shit. And then when I do find a princess that is eligible for me to be the queen to my king, I shoot him like, you know what I'm saying, like some average, you know, local fucking just piece of shit sort of thing. I treat a hoe like a princess and vice versa. Anyway, the fucking the hoe like a princess in this scenario, her name is Kristen Ritter, and I'm pretty sure she was daughter of that one dude who passed away, so I forget his name, something Ritter. But Kristen spelled K-R-Y-S-T-E-N and then Ritter, R-I-T-T-E-N.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of my favorite weirditas, pale as can be, and just one of the biggest cunts you would ever imagine on the show. And there's something about me that loves to see you next Tuesday, and she's one of them, man. She plays both the hoe and the cunt, all fucking so eloquently and without flaw. And any movie that you see her in, she kind of plays just that fucking, she's just a cunt. Like, there's no any way around it. And honestly, I can be a dick from time to time, so I feel like she'd compliment me well.
Yo, and I fell in love with her on Breaking Bad.
Was she a character? Oh yeah, she was a girlfriend for a little bit. Yes.
She was a girlfriend on Breaking Bad, and I fell in love with her on there. Oh my god. And yeah, she is definitely a pale skin goddess, and I love the contrast of the pale skin with the black hair and just
all the more whiter. Yes. The Lord knew what he was doing when he made her.
Oh man, so yeah, definitely, yeah, she is fucking phenomenal. And yeah, she's a dope actress too. I really like her work, and I like you said, like, she plays that bitch role fantastic. Like, it comes from a special place in her heart. I think, yeah, she's definitely fucking dope. And
apparently she's gonna be on the Veronica Mars movie. Like I said, if ever you can see her in something, though, if you have Netflix, obviously, don't trust the bitch in Apartment 13 or Apartment 23. It's fucking hilarious. It's shit so shitty they only lasted two seasons, but I mean, yeah. they didn't capitalize on it how they should have. They need my marketing genius, and I would have got motherfuckers lusting over it and fucking to fucking want to pine to be such a bitch. But she's in a really funny movie that I don't know if I ever made it to DVD. I had to pirate the bitch, but a movie called For a Good Time Call, where pretty much it took one of my ideas because I wanted to make a sex phone line operating system, and it pretty much did that. Just if ever you have a time, listeners, whoever the fuck, For a Good Time Call. Funny fucking movie, and two very beautiful witty beds starring it. And I have it no other way. So what do you have as your next dedication?
And it's funny because we're in sync, because my next dedication is the complete opposite of Manda Diva. I went in a complete opposite direction, and my second dedication is my favorite dirty broad in the world, and that is Yolande Visor.
Oh, you bastard.
South African singer and rapper who co-fronts the rap rave group Die Antwoord. This chick is so wonderfully dirty. I don't know what it is about her, but she drives me in fucking sane. And I fucking love Yolande. Like, she's just so fucking dope, and Die Antwoord is a dope ass group. They we talked about it when we first started doing the podcast. I had my, and actually it's probably gonna switch up, but I had my where I would get drunk and then just watch videos on YouTube. And while getting drunk and watching videos on YouTube, I came across Die Antwoord, and I became a big fan of the work that they do and their music and all that. And yeah, and I fell in love with Yolande Visor through that. And I think you freaky, and I like you a lot.
Oh my god, if ever a quote that she herself saying that best describes is that very thing, honestly, she has like, she's not pretty by like commercial standards, and a lot of times her fucking chopped up dyke haircut isn't fucking commercially dyke to wear, you know, the sleek, sexy, Cassie, quote unquote, I guess, sort of thing. But this bitch with a goddamn bowl haircut still couldn't look in demonic lookingly possessed in most of her fucking pictures. Like, she's fucking gorgeous to me. And honestly, I'd probably give the devil a handjob if you let me fucking let her spit in my mouth. Like,
that
real
is
hard.
That is real. So,
do some dirty shit.
Shouts out to Yolande Visor. And we'll probably...
I want to be her ninja.
Oh my god, I'm
telling you. Did you listen to their albums? Like, I have their discography, and like, and I don't know I don't know if they replace nigga with ninja, but they make a lot of references.
It's a ninja.
Will you be my ninja?
They got fucking, I can't remember which song it is, but my favorite fucking video of theirs is the one when they made fun of Lady Gaga. Did you see that one?
I'm not too sure, possibly.
Oh, yeah, wait, but I gotta
all they do is fucking is dope. And I remember there's one video, it's one of their singles where I guess she's fucking some dude in the house. I don't know if they're playing brother and sister, but he pretty much, you know, tries to kill her for every single time that she brings a dude in the crib, and, you know, she's trying to fuck. And it just makes me wonder, this little freaky little nympho, I would imagine she can take a dick extremely well.
It's called Fatty Boom Boom.
Oh yeah, Fatty Boom Boom, killing with the
Yes. The fucking video, they go hard making fun of Lady Gaga, and Lady Gaga goes to a gynecologist, and they're taking roaches out of her vagina, and then on one part, the chick is rapping in front of it's so fucking dope, because she's rapping in front of a mural that's on this wall, and there's this, like, six-headed devil monster, and the heads on it are, like, Kanye West, and Lil Wayne, and Drake,
and Minaj,
like, all the bad, if you will, the people that people think are in the Illuminati heads of American music, if you will, their heads are all on the top of this devil thing, and it's just like, they make dope music. It's just, it's crazy. And like I said, I started fucking with them about a year ago. I got their discography. I fucks with them real hard. And Yolandi's that motherfucking monster. Like, I'm afraid, though, if I were to have sex with her, I might catch something. But that's a risk I'm willing to take with a Yolandi visor. I'm just saying.
No doubt. With no doubt and no shame whatsoever.
No shame. So on that note, ladies and gentlemen, once again, our email is ibhmpodcast@gmail.com. Questions, comments, topics you want to hear us talk about, go ahead and email us. You can find us on the web, on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Tumblr, Podomatic. Just add IBHM Podcast in an appropriate spot. You can find us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Plus. Just search I'm Black, He's Mexican. And if your niggas is too lazy to do any of that, just head over to the website, IBHMPodcast.com, where you can find all of our links there. Once again, I'm Black. He's Mexican.
They say.
If you didn't like this podcast, must be racist.
A goddamn racist.
So until next time. Whoa!
I was very Jimmy.
Jump, increase the beats, don't let the party, and fucking join up for everybody. van God gelijk. You want to fight, you come tonight. Ik moet heel slecht, zij haat me weg.
God is Jesus, we come to party. Pump your speakers, you rock your body. En God will trust you, come fuck with us, we not taking cock.
Ik zei what's up to my sexy boys.
I like you a lot.